This is the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, live from the Patriots Facebook page.
Brady takes the snap, looks, fires, ends up. Yes! Aaron Hernandez, Tom Brady, pulls the fat out of the fire.
The pregame social is the world's largest virtual tailgate, featuring the fans of the three-time Super Bowl champion New England Patriots.
And the Patriots are world champions again. Back to back, 3 out of 4. Yes, it's a dynasty.
Adam Jones, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart are here to do the grilling as your hosts. This week, the Patriots travel across the pond to London to take on Sam Bradford and the St. Louis Rams.
Brady awaiting the shotgun snap on fourth down. He's got it. Back to throw. Looks. Fires. Caught. Touchdown. Rob Gronkowski.
Now, Adam, Paul, and Andy get you ready for the game live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Patriots Nation, welcome to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
Welcome into the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Adam Jones alongside Andy Hart, Paul Perillo. We're taking you up to Patriots and Rams, 1 o'clock Eastern kick from London as the Patriots have one more game before their bye week. We are live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium here on Patriots.com. Here's how you get in touch. 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio at Patriots.com. Guys, we know there are a lot of logistical hurdles to a game like this, though the Patriots have been through it. What do you expect, given the, I guess, unique nature of this matchup with St. Louis?
Well, I expect a win, I mean, first and foremost. I mean, we'll get into that, obviously, over the next couple of hours. But I know logistically the whole situation with the travel, I'm not as much concerned about that. The one thing that I do think is legitimate is it's 2 out of the last 3 weeks now you're making long trips. You went to Seattle, which is 5 hours one way. You're going about 6 hours the other way, in a span of 3 weeks. That's legit. And the team is clearly at less than 100% health-wise. We had originally 7 guys already downgraded to out. One of those, Ross IR Dowling, is on IR. That's the new name for him, evidently.
Yeah, Ross IR Dowling.
Everybody's running around Twitter now. It's Ross IR Dowling, which I think is a little bit unfair, but that's okay. So now we still have one more guy.
Been in the league 2 years, landed on IR. I think it's fair.
He's played like 6 games.
Yeah, well, that's a lot. That's a lot. That's a lot of football.
I dubbed him Christian Scorier after like 4 games.
Yeah.
So.
No, so now, yeah, so clearly that they're beaten up a little bit. You know, they're dealing with some issues. But you look around the league and you see every team, is dealing with a lot of stuff too. You know, there's key guys for every team that are less than 100% at this point in the season. So
it's a battle of attrition, Paul. I don't know if you've heard that anywhere.
And I don't think it's an excuse to go out to London and lose a game to a team that really I think you have much more talent than. As Andy is just completely infatuated with the food situation.
Well, they send us Dunkin' Donuts coffee with no creamer.
Yeah, well, that's tough.
I don't drink my coffee black. I don't drink my coffee like Eric likes his men. I am not worried about the travel either. The only thing I'm worried about, I'd be worried about here or there, this illness thing that seems to be trickling through. Obviously, you know, it was
Mayo,
more than indigestion last
Will
week
Fork.
With Dan Conley, and now your two best defensive players. I know Steven Jackson's not having a great year, but if for any reason Will Fork and Mayo aren't out there, which I don't expect. But if they're out there and you get those photos of them, you know, the Michael Jordan sitting on the sideline kind of like just look like they're dead, that's going to hurt you. And the more focus they need to put on stopping the run, which is generally kind of an assumed, the worse this defense is going to be because we know they can't stop the pass. And if you're assumed, it becomes a bit of a question. So that would be my one issue. And, you know, the other would be the slight fear I have is this Danny Amendola thing. Everybody seems to say he's not going to play. But I've yet to see definitively he's not going to play, and I think that could give them a boost. He's kind of their Wes Welker, their little bunny rabbit, the lab Brady calls Welker. You throw the ball and he runs back all excited to catch it again. That's a boost to their offense. That's a boost to Bradford.
Emotionally, I think it's a boost more so than even anything on the field.
Yes.
I totally agree with you on that.
That would concern me.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to play.
Nice little player,
but. If he did,
he is
I think that's one
player.
Of those little emotional boosts. And he has an attitude. That's the other thing. He has more attitude than Welker does. He's got a little more spunk to him, a little more Cortland Finnegan, a little a-hole to him, and I think he's got
Jeff Fisher type player.
Well, he's got that whole, you know, Napoleon complex. He's the little guy that everybody overlooked, and I'll show the frickin' world I'm tough. Not the size of the dog in the fight, fighting the dog, and all that crap.
He's tough, but he plays four games a year because he's always hurt. Because why? He's 5'2".
Well, he did almost die.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
there's that.
Yeah. I mean, shoulder injury,
but you're
not often fatal.
But you, but you guys referenced some of the personnel on the Rams. I heard you bring up this stat, and
you,
I don't.
You need to. We're on the radio.
I am incredible,
Paul.
Yeah, he's just like.
Points. I heard you.
I brought up what?
It was probably a good point. We're on the radio. I heard you, Paul.
Now, see, now you're throwing. You
which is a different than RuPaul.
Listen to me. We can't interrupt the monkey.
It's not that you can't interrupt him. It's just we can't say you. Like, we're not allowed to say you on
it's
this program.
It's not a two-man show. I know your show you used to do that people weren't listening to was a two-man show. So if he said you.
It's actually a one-man show.
Paul Perillo, you referenced the Rams personnel earlier. And there was a stat on the pregame show with Andy Gresh and Gary Tanguay, now that we're using all full names, where they talked about the roster turnover in St. Louis.
Andrew Gresh.
Yeah, and I actually missed this during the course of the week. I didn't see it, but Gresh was saying 32 players from last year are no longer there, and half of those, or more than half of those, are not even in the league anymore.
The other half are here.
Wow. That just speaks to just how little talent that team has had. And it's a rebuilding process, obviously, but you can't just restore that kind of ability overnight. If you had that many players that weren't NFL players, what's the most you're going to replace? You know, they probably have a good amount of players right now that are on the roster that really aren't NFL players as well. So, again, tough situation going over there, playing all that. Still no excuse to not come home with a win. And I think it's an easier game in London than it would have been in St. Louis, to be honest with you. So, I mean, even though it would have been half the trip, if you went, probably less than half the trip, if you had gone to St. Louis, that still would have been a true road game. This isn't. This is going to be more like a home game because you're going to have more fans in the stands from that UK Patriots fan club rooting for the Patriots.
Yeah, we're already getting those tweets, pictures, everybody like, Patriots jerseys everywhere. It's crazy. So...
One more here before we get to the keys.
And it was crazy. As, you know, from the last time that we were there, and Andy and I, first, you know, and Andy will say that we went out on the Saturday night. We had a party that we hosted. Andy and I were like rock stars over there. Can you imagine what the Patriots are like?
Spike the mic. Spike the mic.
I mean, seriously. Andy and I, like, walk into this place in downtown London, the Sports Cafe, and it was like, We couldn't walk. There was actually, I'm not exaggerating, and I'm not saying this to try to be an ego boost. I'm trying to explain just how popular the Patriots are, because this is Patriots. This isn't Andy and Paul.
It's a little bit Andy and Paul.
There was an area in this place that was roped off. It was like a VIP area for us.
That's where I stayed too.
And that, yeah, Andy never ventured out of there. Andy made me go out and mingle.
Crowded and people outside of that.
I had to go out and mingle with the folks so we could get free beers. Andy just stayed behind the red railing ropes the whole night.
kept the seat warm over there.
Yep.
Nice. Before we do get to the keys, though, the Aaron Hernandez thing was a little off the radar for me. What'd you make of him being downgraded for this? Was there a setback? Is it because of the bye week they're trying to maximize the time off and get him a couple of weeks?
Oh, now we're going to maximize the time off when we rushed him back in the first place. You know, I have to believe Adam Schefter. He's generally right. And the report was it's not responding to treatments over the last week. So because some people were wondering, could it be the baby thing? He is having a baby, I believe, the first week of November. So,
well, I didn't know that was part of that was.
Well, some people were wondering if that could be because it's the 6th, the 7th. You know, we're pretty close. You know, Paul knows of this. He skipped an AFC title game in a Super Bowl once when he was going to have a kid. Sometimes
what a bad guy
you
I
have
am.
To give a little leeway in advance because, you know.
I wanted to be there for the birth of my first son.
Mother Nature can be, you know, not exactly on a schedule. So, but based on the Schefter information, it's injury related. And I think the thing that threw us off is he didn't practice, what was it, 2 weeks ago and then played. And you start to say, well, okay, maybe he's on kind of his own program where you don't just say day by day if he didn't practice, he can't play. But he was on the bike this week, and then he missed a day. I think they rushed him. I mean, we all said it at the time. When he has 6 catches for 5 yards a catch in Seattle and doesn't make anybody miss, you go, ooh, that's not really Aaron Hernandez. And then limps off 3 times in the third quarter and gets, you know, looked at. You know, that's my phone that dinged in the background. But... I usually turn it off, too.
You have a train wreck in the show.
That's problematic, and they might have said, you know, we got to get him this extra two-plus weeks here so that he's ready because he is that important to this offense, obviously. And
so you do think there's something to the bye week looming?
Yeah, but unfortunately, I think this is a product of rushing him back too early, and it didn't even pay off because they lost, right? So, like, if you had rushed him back to Seattle, okay, we won. Whew, we needed him, but you rushed him back and you lost.
It was almost a total disaster because you almost rushed him back and then lost both games that he played, and then he had to sit out the next one.
Right.
But they were able to obviously come back and win the game last week against the Jets. I'm with Andy. I didn't think he looked right in Seattle. From the first play of the game, I think it was the very first play, they threw a pass to him. And it was one of those plays where he usually – you know, the first guy comes and he cuts underneath him and he gets a couple extra yards after the catch and, you know, he's off. None of that. You know, generally the first guy that got to him that day tackled him. He wasn't moving very well in my estimation. Certainly not last week against the Jets. I thought he was clearly laboring, especially late in that game. I don't know if he even coming on and off the field. You know, as he's heading to the sideline, he really looked like he was having trouble. I think the bye week has something to do with it. The baby situation is an interesting wrinkle. I knew he was expecting a child. I didn't know that was sort of being thrown out there as a possibility. But I think it makes sense, Adam, to give him a little extra time now, especially if that's coming into play too. Because now not only is he worried about his ankle, he's worried about more important things off the field too. So give him a little time off here to get himself right, both mentally and physically, and then you get back after it, hopefully, after the bye.
Aaron Hernandez, one of six Patriots already ruled out for this game. We'll get you the final inactive a little later on here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Let Dunkin' Donuts make you a sandwich. Dunkin's turkey, cheddar, bacon, and ham and cheese bakery sandwiches are made with care so you can enjoy life's simple pleasures. Get yours today. America runs on Dunkin'. We'll get to the phones, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. But first, let's get Andy and Paul's keys to the game.
You've waited all week for it.
No, I can't wait.
Here are Andy and Paul's keys to the game.
All right, guys. Patriots kick off against the Rams, 1 o'clock Eastern time in London. What's your key?
My key is simple and edgy. Win on the edge. I think the only way the Rams win this game is if they have success where they're good on defense, and that's pass rush with my two young stud defensive ends, including Robert Quinn, and if Cortland Finnegan can kind of screw with Wes Welker, take him out of his game, bang him around, he's going to face him in the slot, and Janoris Jenkins has a good game. If you know, it's the old blueprint to beat the Patriots. If you can pressure and cover, and you can win. And if they can do that, if they can play their game to the best of their abilities, I think they have a chance.
I'm going to take it to the inside. Andy's on the edges. I'm going to go with, he briefly mentioned it, that Wes Welker matchup against Cortland Finnegan inside. And if it's Jenkins, if it's Finnegan, I know that they're expecting Finnegan. He's been the guy that's moved from the outside to the inside to cover slot guys in sub situations. The Patriots need to win that matchup, and I think they need to make this a Wes Welker game. I think right now they need to do what they need to do to get a win heading into the bye.
Quick information off Twitter.
What do you got?
From Mort Report, Danny Amendola will be inactive against the Patriots, as expected, but
kind
of eases my concerns of a little emotional boost.
Still interesting. I think that the last couple of weeks they've been searching a little bit for an identity offensively, and it, you know, some weeks it's been there with the run game, some weeks it hasn't. Last week I thought the run game was pretty much bottled up. They ran the ball 31 times, but you know, didn't really make any big plays in the running game. And I thought they also got a little bit reliant on Brandon Lloyd on the outside. I want to get back to what they do well. You know, no longer worried about, you know, trying to diversify in a lot of different ways. Adam, as Andy Hart's phone continues to ring as if he's never, ever participated on a radio show before.
It's on vibrate now.
He's like a grandmother is what he's like, who doesn't know how to
control
his cell phone.
There goes that darn phone again. I think they need to win this game with what they know they do well. And to me, that's Wes Welker inside. You got no Hernandez. Gronkowski might be asked to block a little more to do what Andy talked about in protecting those edges.
Quinning.
Wes Welker, I think. You know, he beats Finnegan. The Patriots beat the Rams.
If he doesn't, do they lose?
I think if they shut him down, yeah, I think they have a very good chance to lose.
I think the Rams have a good chance
to lose. I don't expect that
to happen.
Because
I think they are going to F with Wes Welker, beat the snot out of him, absolutely just go physical.
And that's singularly Finnegan?
A lot of it is Finnegan. And I think that's a fine matchup. I think Finnegan is capable of annoying Wes Welker.
I agree. I don't think it'll be an easy – I'm not expecting this to be an easy game. I just think in the end they're going to have too much.
Well, and look, we haven't seen the Patriots be in many easy games, right? And
no,
I don't know why.
In the days of predicting those, I think right now, at least for now, have to be gone.
I mean, look, I've done it the last 2 weeks, just me personally, and I couldn't have been more wrong.
I really thought last
games.
Week was a game that really matched up for the Patriots to have one of those. But I thought they were going to be a pissed off, angry team coming back from Seattle, knowing they let one slip away, playing against a team that they hate at home. All signs to me pointed toward a relatively easy win, and it was anything but easy. In fact, the way the game unfolded, you could probably say they were a little bit fortunate to win. But even if they had won it the way they looked like they were going to, 23-13 in the fourth quarter, it was not easy.
See, I see it that way, too. Like, we've talked about going into the game, what was it? Patriots had lost 3 games by a total of 4 points or whatever it was. So, in a way, Patriots fans were making the case that, well, they could have won any of those three games. I think you can make the case the other way in that Jets game last week. So, I would agree with that.
Well, I think you could look at the only game to me that was not losable was the opener. I think that, you know, people look at the final score in Buffalo and they say that was a blowout, but I mean it was 21-21 going into the fourth quarter. You know, when the other
team
turns
21-7 at one point before that.
But the other they were losing the Bills were winning the game 21-7, having turned the ball over 3 times already. Now, unfortunately for them, they turned it over 3 more times in the fourth quarter and ended up losing going away. But you turn the ball over 6 times, you're going to lose by 25 points. I mean, that's what happens in football.
And I want to get into some of this bigger picture stuff with the Patriots. And also, specifically, you mentioned the game plan. What's the role of the run? We'll get into that a little later on here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. But first, let's hit the phones. 508-298-0398. Olivia's in Virginia. He's been waiting patiently. And what's going on, man?
Top of the morning to you, Mr. Jones.
Olivia.
Tally-ho.
Hello.
Governor.
Wait, you're all out of accents? That's it? That's all you got?
I can talk to you like if I were Sunday.
I think we're offending people now. Yeah, so get to your Patriots talk.
Like a 7-Eleven owner? I don't know.
I'm sorry. I'm the one offending. Sorry. I'm taking the baton from you, Andy.
Exactly.
Well done. Well done.
Thank you. So what do you guys think of the threat that Given is posing us or posing our Swiss cheese secondary at this point?
It scares the hell out of me. Anybody who's caught 50-yard passes in 4 consecutive weeks against this secondary. And
I agree.
By the way, he also has a good quarterback. You know, this isn't – I mean, I know people are wanting, you know, is Bradford going to be a franchise guy? Was he worth the number one? Should, you know, did they screw up? Should they have gone after RG3? And but Bradford's capable. He's better than Sanchez, and he's better than Russell Wilson. So, yeah. You know, with a guy who's making plays down the field against a defense that's not making plays down the field, rut-row, Raggy.
Yeah, what do you think, Paul?
About Givens specifically? Yeah. I agree with Andy. I mean, he's
Givens at all he's got.
He's a guy that can get deep on you. There's no question about that. And, you know, Andy has one for
hey,
all
Andy,
of us.
How come you didn't see anything deep on you? I mean, I'm...
Balls deep? Deep balls? What?
Wow.
Yeah, I quit.
Were you setting me up, Olivier? Was that? Because I was reading Twitter when you asked me that question. Were you setting me up that whole time?
I'm sorry. Was it sarcasm? All right, guys. Listen, I wish you a great game. Before Mr. Jones hangs up on me, I will hang up on him. Cheers.
All right, guys. Olivia, thanks for the phone call.
Did we just break tradition, by the way?
What? Yeah, no Jeff?
No Jeff.
Oh,
we went Olivier with the first call of the day. Is Jeff dead?
Is
uh-oh.
It was only a matter of time.
It's true. His debt's caught up with
yeah,
him.
Broken kneecaps maybe, something along those lines. But we appreciate
He's
the phone
living
call.
In a van down
good
by
news,
the
guys. Crack producer Kevin Collins went upstairs and got a hood thing of light cream so I can have my coffee now.
Did one thing right.
Where'd
about
get
time. The fridge upstairs. They well stocked. Dunkin' Donuts let us down. Are you going to do a Dunkin' Donuts read now?
We also didn't get our sandwiches this
no
week.
No sandwiches and no cream.
So we can get
America may run on Dunkin', but PFW is sputtering along, barely surviving.
As we're bracing for Hurricane Sandy.
Yeah, which Adam thinks is stupid. Why have they been warning us? It's going to hit like New Jersey. Yeah. It's going to be nothing.
There's only like, you know, 50-plus dead already.
So, but... Okay.
I'm a bad guy, but I'm hoping a tree
I don't really
falls
want to go off
car.
On this tangent. I believe the hurricane's going to hit somewhere. I'm just a little skeptical it's going to hit here. That's all.
It's not going to be a direct hit here, but that right. doesn't mean... So instead of dying, you'll be inconvenienced, but you should still be prepared. Don't be one of those morons.
Yeah. Andy went out and got a generator last night.
Yeah. Better hope we don't lose power tonight.
He's off the grid.
I've always had a generator. I started it up this morning before I left to make sure it was running, though.
No post-game show tonight. No power.
It's a possibility, but he'll go, no, there's no storm, no wind. Oh.
Let's not talk about no power. We want to make sure we get the paper done.
Yeah, power can go out as soon as the paper's done.
Hmm. 508-298-0398. You can weigh in on that Hurricane
really is
Sandy
just your
if you'd
crush,
like.
No matter what. When you have nothing to say, you just say 508.
You can weigh in. You can weigh in on Hurricane Sandy if you'd like, and give your thoughts on that, as well as this Patriots Rams.
And the idiot who thinks the preparation for it has been a waste and overrated.
Yeah, I just think 3 days of talking about it when it might not even hit is a little.
You ever hear prior planning prevents piss poor performance?
No, obviously not.
I've heard of that though. I have heard of it.
You know, why did Bill start the game plan last Tuesday? They could have just thrown it together yesterday. Sure, I mean, it would have been fine.
I mean,
Rams aren't that good.
They're not even playing a good defense.
Right.
Jones thought Katrina was a thunderstorm.
Right? I do want to. I was more referencing Irene from last year, but yeah. I do want to circle back to Sam Bradford, though, because you said you think he's better than Wilson. You think he's better than Sanchez. We've seen quarterbacks make plays against this Patriots secondary in the past. We know the Patriots secondary is even more banged up than it has been. So, you know, what do you expect out of this Rams offense today?
Honestly, I don't expect them to have this. You know, I saw some people, I think maybe one of the bold predictions, 350 yards from Bradford. I'm not really expecting that. You know, Bill has had some time to kind of try to quell this problem, and Matt Chatham was talking a lot about it on the pregame show on WEEI coming in. I was listening, and he was talking about all the various coverages they're running, and, you know, he's not as down on the players individually as maybe some people are. And I'm down on him. I'm not going to lie. I'm down on most players not named Alphonso Denard. I think he's the one, or Dennard, that hasn't. I still struggle with that. It looks like Denard. I'm sorry. But it's Dennard. And he's the one guy that I think has shown something. Even last week, getting physical, getting the holding calls. You know, to me, that's something you can kind of tweak and work on. But some of the problems we've seen from other guys, I think, are just major problems. And that said, with McCourty back there, I just don't think you're going to see these jailbreak-type plays and a bunch of 50-yarders.
So do you think that was just singularly McCourty, or is that schematic, that we saw that be taken away a little bit last week? At least
I think it was a lot of factors. I think, A, most defenses don't give up, you know, three plays of 45 yards or more in a game.
And I would argue...
Even bad ones.
I would argue with the term, not necessarily your terminology, but the whole they took it away thing.
Yeah.
I don't think they tried it once all day. And one time that they did try to look like... Well, that was kind of a broken play, but they had one in overtime where they looked like they wanted to run the other hill, Jason Hill, on a go route, and Dennard just grabbed him and tackled him. He still ended up being behind him. So I don't think
and McCourty was like his feet were in stone. He didn't move.
They didn't really take any shots deep.
But
what they did was they attacked underneath. I think what the Jets did is they said, there's no way the Patriots are going to allow us to get behind them today after what happened to them last week. So we're not even going to try. We're going to take the intermediate stuff, and they carved them up with it. I actually thought the Jets' passing game, when they actually threw the ball, I thought they had a good game plan last week. And Matt Chatham talked about that with the stuff that Andy's talking about. They kept attacking Kyle Arrington with the same route, that same, you know, that inside-out route, the, you know, kind of a flag route is the way Matt described it. And it worked every time. And he had a bunch of, like, 17-yard catches, you know, 22-yard catches, you know, stuff like that. Those are big plays. You know, they're not bombs for touchdowns, but I think the Jets knew that the Patriots weren't going to let anybody run by them the way they did against Seattle.
Because that's such a cardinal sin for Bill. Bill wants you to have to drive 8, 9, 10, 12 plays.
Absolutely.
Okay, and I heard Rick Venturi, who's the Rams guy.
He was really good.
And he coached under Bill in the secondary, and he said, I lived in fear of big plays. I mean, that's like lose your job kind of thing if you give up big plays. And so you know they're not going to continue to give up 40, 50-yard plays. They're not good enough necessarily to stop the 20-yarders, so this statistic may keep building. But I don't think you're going to see guys run by them for, you know, over-the-shoulder touchdowns all that often.
And Olivier mentioned it with his phone call, but one of the guys who's been doing that consistently is Chris Givens.
Yeah.
Right.
He's got four, one in each of the last four games of over 50.
He's averaging like 28 yards a catch or something.
Yeah, but he only has 10 catches. And how many?
Almost 28 targets.
27
or
28
targets. You got to throw the ball three times to get a catch.
So I'll live with that.
They're Brandon Lloyd, only he has big plays.
Yeah, but how much of that is him and how much is the quarterback?
But what I'm saying is that if they're
only
able...
Are you not a Bradford guy?
No,
Because he doesn't put up big fantasy numbers.
I actually sort of am, but...
I think he's a pretty good accurate
quarterback. But I'm just saying, when you're talking about targets, how much is the receiver, how much is the quarterback?
So, you know, Brady throws it three times to get one from Lloyd. Do we blame Brady?
No, I mean...
Oh, okay, yeah, so, yeah.
I don't blame him.
Consistency, my friend!
I don't blame him.
Consistency.
If the catch was for 50 yards, I'd be okay with it. But it's not for Lloyd. It's six.
Well,
the
one it would be 50 if he caught it.
The one connection is the screen.
I also have seen all those throws. I haven't seen all the. I haven't sat there and watched the cut-ups.
Well, I have.
I haven't watched the cut-ups.
It's not Sam Bradford's fault.
Andy does that every Monday.
Right.
He takes the other team and he gets all the cut-ups and he has all the various situations.
Tell you one thing. In the next hour and a half, don't criticize Sam Bradford or Robert Quinn. Anyone else is fair game.
Everyone else is fair game.
That's my boys.
I like it. 508-298-0399.
I almost weep for Andy if Bradford throws three picks and Quinn is shut out today because he's going to have a long week next week.
I mean, I'm not really going to be out of work for 3 days with this storm, so I'll be fine.
I'm certainly rooting for it. Checking the emails, though, Ray writes in.
When you turn into a homer on us, what are you doing?
Guys, this week's game is pretty retrospective because there are quite a few Rams players the Pats likely had interest in. Laurinaitis, Jackson, Jenkins, Amendola. I think that's all of them.
Quinn, your mother. Who is this?
I didn't know we had interest in Laurinaitis, did we?
I doubt it.
I'm not saying that we didn't. I just said I hadn't heard that. Amendola is obvious with the Welker comparison.
Yeah, he was at Patriot Place getting Dunkin' Donuts this offseason, wasn't he?
Yeah, and Steven Jackson.
Wonder if he got cream with his coffee and a sandwich.
Yeah, or a sandwich. Steven Jackson, clearly.
Got a sandwich.
That was the year, I believe, that we traded for Corey Dillon around the draft.
Oh, I remember it perfectly because I did a massive feature in our paper about the running backs they needed. You had to have a good running back, right. And they needed to draft one in the And then right before the draft, they traded, and I was like, "Here goes that feature." Rip that.
But that's definitely, the email is dead on with that one. I think Steven Jackson is a guy that Bill Belichick absolutely
was interested in taking. About this week.
Oh, yeah. Well, I went to Vegas and hung out with
him. Spent a whole day with him in Vegas. You know, it was funny the way he said it. He goes, "I spent a day with him in Las Vegas." That's where he's from. He's from Las Vegas. Like it's not like, hey, we're out of the slots.
Maybe they saw Jeff, who's dead.
Quickly, though.
In a gutter.
And it is weird that Jeff hasn't called.
Does it feel weird for us that we're like,
Where's Jeff? He hasn't called.
Yeah, right? I mean, I know we're not like on like the major radio station in Boston, but we do okay. I mean, enough people listen and we're worried about one guy in Vegas.
Where is Snagglepuss? All right.
Yeah. I mean, I'm lost.
Yeah. I kind of miss it.
I kind of miss it. I don't know what the spread is. I don't know where the smart money is going.
just tweet that out. Why don't you tweet that out?
I don't know what to put a unit on.
A quarter unit on something to cover my bases.
I feel so lost.
Just cover your unit.
I don't know who's buying lunch on Thursday.
Going back to the players you referenced, though, he mentioned Jenkins as well.
Yeah.
And I know you had talked about him with the edge.
Yeah.
What have you seen from Jenkins thus far?
Well, he's been a little up and down. There's no one arguing he's not talented, but he's looked like a rookie corner. He hasn't played great, but that's one of those things. You know, today might be the day where he's just on it, and you don't trick him, and, you know, he doesn't have any missteps that rookies make. I think he's certainly physically capable of matching up with a guy like Lloyd, who Paul likes to point out doesn't get separation against anyone, and this is a pretty talented cover corner.
You say it so much meaner than I do, though.
Paul says he doesn't get separation against anyone. Gee, guys.
Say it like I was an 11-year-old girl.
But
you just say it.
No,
very
I
mean.
Think Jenkins
who doesn't
can,
separate from anyone.
You know, these teams, I mean, Seattle had two pretty good corners. You know, Rams have two pretty good corners. Even last week, I thought the Jets had, in that game, two pretty good corners. I thought they played pretty well.
Yeah, I thought Kyle Wilson played pretty well last
week. So, you know, that you got to cover to stop Tom Brady. And if you can add the coverage was what I said earlier. Even if the pass rush isn't, I don't need Quinn to have another 3-sack game like he had earlier this year. I mean, he's been pretty consistent, pretty much one a week. If he can get a sack early and kind of, you know, that Brady starts to wonder, oh, where's Quinn? Where's Long? Where are they coming from? You know, get a little push up the middle from Brockers. I think they have the makings to sort of frustrate the Patriots. That said, I actually think the Patriots are probably going to come out and drive right down the field, get the crowd into it, get the bells ringing and the horns and everything, and then it'll turn out the lights for the Rams.
If they, because
the Rams
get,
need to play this on, you know, Seattle-like, Jets-like terms. This can't get out of hand. Or
if the Rams offense can give a little bit of help, and they don't necessarily have to go out and put up a pile of points, but what did Seattle do in that game that Andy just referenced? They got the opening kick. They went down and they kicked a field goal. Then they gave up a touchdown. Then they got their next position, went down, and got a touchdown. So they scored a little bit early to give you hope. Now, they then went about two-plus quarters doing nothing offensively. Nothing but turning the ball over anyway. So they still should have lost the game. But there was a little bit where the Seattle defense said, hey, if we can force some field goals here, we're moving the ball. We can score today. You know, where sometimes those teams that don't have any offense – and you fall behind 10-0, 14-0, you know, in your quarter and a half into the game, you're like, we're done. We can't score. We're not going to be able to score 20 points today, and they already got 14. So and all of a sudden a 14-point game becomes a 28-point game, and it's a laugher. That I could see happening with St. Louis, even though I do agree with Andy. I think that the Rams have some talent and the makings of a tough defense. If they don't get any help from the offense, I think it can really snowball on you.
He's Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, Adam Jones here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. We're live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, taking you up to Pats and Rams, 1 o'clock Eastern time. What do you got, Andy?
I just wanted to, one topic we haven't really touched on early is the weather, you know, this overrated storm you're talking about, but
correct.
How it might affect the Patriots' return to Foxborough. And I just saw, to me, what's a confusing tweet from Chris Mortensen, and I'll read it and then we'll discuss, but even though Patriots have contingency travel plans from London with Hurricane Sandy on the horizon, team and league sources now anticipate that they will get out on time after the game for on-time arrival back home. They're not scheduled to leave after the game. They're scheduled to leave tomorrow morning and arrive here in New England Monday at 5:30, somewhere late afternoon or early evening. My last correspondence with our boss Fred Kirsch was they are unlikely to leave tonight. They had not been told as of yet that they were leaving tonight, because that was something I wondered. Would they just leave right after the game, try to get back before the storm gets bad? They are still, as of last time I checked with Fred, were scheduled to go back to the hotel and leave on Monday, which what they've done in the past. They did the last time we were there. So that's an interesting topic, and I heard, you know, Kevin Falk talking about it on the pregame show on EEI, joking, you know, not exactly ideal. Bill Belichick has, you know, 60 players who have a night off in London with no curfew, and, you know, Chatham chimes in with, how long's that flight to Amsterdam? How long does it take to get to Amsterdam? And from just a technical perspective, Belichick wants to get back to self-scout. He wants to, you know, this is a bye week that he uses, and generally their schedule is they practice Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, somewhere in there. Early in the week, he's breaking down the entire first half of the season. And there's a lot to break down. You know, we've all talked about, can they fix the secondary during the bye week? You know, can you get back to some technique or scheme things that you don't have time during? Well, now is he losing some of that? If they weren't prepared and he doesn't have, I don't know what sort of, you know, systems they brought with them with Jimmy D in the video department, and how much of their film and archives and all that they can break up there. Maybe they planned ahead and he has some of that with him and he can just do it in the, you know, governor's house hotel room or whatever. But
hello, governor.
I think it's an issue to look at after the game moving forward and how it could affect the bye week and everything. Kind of, you know, Rob Gronkowski on the prowl in London.
He's going to be doing
things Bill Belichick is right. Not looking for.
He's going to be doing potentially a lot worse than spiking some microphones.
Gronk's like,
have you
seen Big Ben? Oh, no, not that one. I got another Big Ben I want to show you, baby. Something like, you could see him doing that, no?
His name is new take on the Big Bang Clock.
What I call him.
No. You know, I got a Big Ben.
Yeah, maybe he calls it Ben.
rather odd, but...
He's an odd naming dog. It is rather odd.
not as odd as Eric Scalavino, who, it's no longer PFW Eric, because...
E-Scal.
In his latest effort to distance himself from all things Patriots, Patriots Football Weekly,
Manly.
Andy and Paul, Fred, and the United States of America in general. He is now E_Scal.
That's hipper.
Yeah. That's, anyway, he's telling us that it's
a hip-hop culture.
The London weather is quite chilly and cloudy, but he does, you know, give a little bit of description there. It's about 40s Fahrenheit, mm-hmm. if you were wondering.
Yeah.
So I don't want you to think it was 40 Celsius,
which
would not be.
I always go right to Kelvin.
Which
when
would
I'm
not be
temperature, yes.
Chilly this or cloudy. If it were 40 Fahrenheit, you'd be, you know, burning up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but I mean, you know, Celsius, not 40.
We have the
clarification. It's Fahrenheit.
I think we're over our quota for
so
weather.
So 140 characters, and he found the way to get Fahrenheit.
So you're just opposed to all weather.
I think we're over our
even if they're warning you to not die.
How many degrees over freezing that is.
We're over our weather quota, I think. We'll continue to get you any updates, any pertinent updates, especially their return schedule, I think, is interesting.
Yeah.
You know, how it impacts on the bye week. I do think that's somewhat noteworthy.
Because if they come out of the bye and they suck and we go, maybe they didn't have time to really.
Well, I think the fact that it's a bye week is big for the Patriots, because I think it lessens the urgency.
Yeah, but if you
it.
Lose
but
your
Andy's
bye.
Right. Andy's right. Well, they're not going to lose the whole bye. They might lose a portion of the first day.
Yeah. Well, no.
They're not going to have to stay in London like indefinitely.
No, but if they don't fly back till Tuesday.
They're going to have to forfeit the next game.
When Robert Kraft was talking about a team in London, he didn't mean
he
the
didn't
Patriots
mean us.
Were just staying. Yeah. That's not
why not us? Why not
us? Why not us?
No, but if you lose Monday and Tuesday, well, now it's Wednesday when you want it to be on the practice field, and now you're trying to catch up with yourself scouting.
yeah.
It could set him back a little.
Yeah, I think it's something to be aware of. I think it's something to
I
have
agree.
On the radar.
I
yeah.
agree.
Yeah, sure.
On the radar? I thought we were done with weather talk. Yeah, you're talking radar.
That is true. We have talked a little bit about that Patriots running game, which is, as of 2 weeks ago, we thought would be a major focal point. Now the last 2 weeks, it's been somewhat non-existent. We'll get to the impact of the Patriots running game in this game today against St. Louis next. It's the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social here on Patriots.com.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Hooked up, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for a tremendous fall tire sale. And best of all, there are no forms to fill out, no rebates to wait for. Save an instant $70 when you buy four select Bridgestone tires now through October 31st. We'll take $70 off the invoice on the spot. Save on quality Bridgestone tires, such as the Dueler HL Alenza, Turanza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G019 Grid. There's a Bridgestone tire for every season here in New England, and now is the perfect time to buy during our fantastic sale. Remember, we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance, with over 100 ASE certified master technicians on staff, plus easy online appointments and free shuttle service. Check out the everyday low prices on Bridgestone tires and our incredible Bridgestone tire offer. Make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. Sale ends October 31st. In-stock tires only. This is a Sullivan Tire promotion. See store for details.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time. 2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice.
and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards Credit Card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012 Bank of America Corporation.
Dante Hightower, the New England Patriots, and I get ready for every game with Andy Hart and Paparella on the Patriots Pregame Social.
I wish I could...
I can't whistle.
I wish you could see Andy's face when he's doing that. Like, that's what I wish.
I find it amazing he's able to flex.
And when I say you, I mean our listeners. I don't mean flex.
I was sweating and I took my sweatshirt
off. It's amazing
off.
He's able to flex while whistling.
It is warm in here.
We're all in sweatshirts.
And when I drink coffee, it gets my body going.
Mine's attractive.
Yeah, two of us are in sweatshirts and one's in a jacket. So, I don't know. Only one person is.
My ears were sweating under the microphone.
Only one person is overly warm. It is.
You do put a lot of stress on those headphones. Maybe that's why you're sweating.
Kind of like your belt.
He's like, no argument.
You're going to come back.
I'm not going to argue with you. It is the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Adam Jones, Paul Perillo, Andy Hart live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. We're taking you up to Pats and Rams, 1 o'clock Eastern kick from London.
So, Pac-Man, off the air, you were talking, you and Andy were talking about the Marcus Lattimore injury, a big running back from South Carolina. And you said your roommate had said, yeah, Lattimore was out. He hurt his knee.
I got back.
Probably as serious an injury as you'll see.
I got
football.
Back at halftime yesterday, and he's like, yeah, I think he hurt his knee. And I saw.
He tore all the ligaments and broke his leg.
I saw the replay.
Yeah, Robert Edwards type injury.
I saw the replay 2 hours later. It was like Joe Theismann type injury. That thing was disgusting. Literally,
the only thing that was holding it was the skin.
But I will say, like, was holding his knee. I got home late in the afternoon, early evening. So that game was long over. And just looking at the scroll of everything, and it said, Lattimore, whatever his stats were, left game in second quarter, comma knee. So, like in defense
right,
of
your
room, I mean, I think in the scroll it should be,
career may be over.
Yeah, tore all four ligaments in his knee.
Almost came off.
Right.
It's never good when both teams come to the middle of the field and huddle around an injured player and like support.
That
literally had to reset his leg on the field, like to like straighten it out and put it in kind of the general working order it's supposed to be in.
James Harden got traded today.
Although luckily
he was facing the wrong way.
He didn't tear apparently the nerve or the.
Do you guys want to talk about the Patriots game, or do we just want to hit Lattimore and James Harden and Hurricanes?
Here's the thing about the Patriots game, and I know
they're like across the pond.
This is
out of sight, out of mind.
I understand how dangerous this is in light of what we've gone through for the last month. I just don't see the other team winning this game, and I know that it's stupid to say that based on what's just happened the last two games.
One won it, and one should have.
I thought the same exact thing. I definitely thought the same thing last week. The Seattle game I thought was going to be a win, too. I thought there was a little bit more of a chance for Seattle to win than the Jets, but close. I think of this game the same way I thought of those. I haven't been right yet, but we'll see what happens.
They're evacuating New York City, but it's nothing.
So you're misrepresenting what I'm saying. I just don't think it's going to hit. It's clearly going to hit somewhere.
You understand the storm is 900 miles wide, right?
Yeah, I know.
You know how far 900 miles is?
I know.
Or did you go to Northeastern and fail math?
I did not fail math, but I did go to Northeastern, and it was probably closer than I would like to admit. But it's going to hit somewhere. Like I know somewhere on this earth the hurricane's going to hit. I'm just skeptical it's going to hit here. That's all I'm saying.
What's 900 miles from here?
Huh?
What's 900 miles from here?
I mean, I understand New York is within that radius.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I do get that. Let's hit some of these phone calls. Let's talk to some people who do want to talk about this game. 508-298.
Not all that much. The guy slept in.
0398. Michelle Stockholm.
Oh.
Is
speaking
at the stadium.
I'd want to sleep with. I mean, what?
And joining us. How's the atmosphere there, rather, Michelle?
It is. It's happening. It's gray skies and some Tebow jerseys.
Oh, boo.
Yeah, I know. Sorry. I just got ran over by Freeney or somebody. I don't know. There is a lot of jerseys here, predominantly Patriots jerseys, I'd say, as far as like Rams and Patriots go. But I actually saw a Mark Sanchez and a Eli Manning holding hands. I snapped a picture. I would be tweeting that later.
Oh, nice. I actually do remember from last time we were there, I'm pretty sure we picked out all 32 teams in the stadium.
Yeah.
We were able to see at least one of everybody.
Yep, you could probably do that here too. And a lot of, like, old jerseys, too. Like, I'm just staring at a guy right now wearing a Namath jersey. I actually got my Brewski jersey on. And there's a lot of, like, older jerseys, too. So that's fun. The event is, like, there's a bunch of cheerleaders here. Andy would probably appreciate that.
Well, I'm
this thing is a whopping 16 inches.
I'm just upset that you're wearing a shirt.
Yeah. I will be streaking later on.
Nice. Streaking. I'm still waiting for that video. You've been promising that for a week and a half.
Yeah. These things really are huge.
The end, it's really cool. Like, I mean, everybody gets along and having a good time so far. So it'll probably be a good game.
Now, are you are you tailgating with some other Patriots fans? Are you with the UK group or?
Yeah, I am actually with a couple of friends of mine. They're from the UK. One of them, this is his first football game.
Nice.
And the other guy's a Jets fan.
Oh,
God
boo,
bless his
boo,
soul.
Boo.
So, I know. But, we're all hanging out and just talking to people in general, you know? So it's really getting, looks like it's going to start to rain any minute.
Oh.
And I don't know, the roof here, I guess they have to, it takes a while before you can close it. Like, it'll take, like, half an hour, 45 minutes. So either it's already on and the roof is closed, or it's open, and then it'll stay open for the game.
Right.
And yesterday it was pouring here, off and on. When I went to the fan rally and such, it was raining. So maybe it's on. That would be cool.
And
you don't have to worry about that.
Well, yeah, and that's the one time they had that really bad game, Miami and somebody in the past, the turf was terrible.
Giants,
it was coming up
was
in chunks.
Giants?
And
I thought it was interesting the way Belichick talked about it, though. Is that they were expecting really bad turf, and it wasn't.
Right.
In 09, it was pretty good.
Right.
And then they made the conclusion that the one game that they thought it was really bad was there was a lot of rain. I think it was the Giants and Dolphins.
Yeah, so that'll be something to keep an eye on, is just the footing. And Belichick said, you know, it was a slow field, which, for whatever that means. For
grass. And I don't know, England is playing a bunch of their national tournament thingies right now for the upcoming World Championship in Rio in a couple of years. So I know they'll be playing here in a couple of weeks, as a matter of fact. So I'm thinking the roof might be on just to save the turf. Just, I mean, you don't want to have it all ruined for them.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, so I would. And you can't see the roof from where you are right now?
I'm actually outside of the stadium right now in this tailgating area, like the Budweiser tent, all these, like, food courts and whatnot. The one thing I have to say, though, that I'm really disappointed at, the NFL shop has set up this huge tent, and I walked by there because I wanted to get maybe, like, a Spikes jersey or a Jones jersey. The only jerseys they got are Brady, Gronkowski, Welker, and that's it.
Oh, well, that stinks.
I thought that was pretty poor.
Well, I know they're having problems with Nike getting turnover of jerseys and adding to inventory, and it's been a long process that Nike hasn't been all that good with. So it may be kind of a Nike issue as much as the NFL, but that's unfortunate.
I think it's very unfortunate, actually.
Okay, one last question before we let you go. What other languages do you speak other than English?
Swedish.
Can you say something to us in Swedish, please?
Of course. Hoppas att ni har en bra sändning och heja Patriots.
Hey. Easy.
That meant I hope you guys have a nice broadcast and go Patriots.
Well, thank you. You too. And send a photo of anything you do today, including showing your tatas.
Yes, I will. And I will let you know. You will let me know when I should start worrying about the game, right?
Yes. Do not worry at all today. No problem. Just send that photo.
No problem.
See ya.
All right, Andy. Talk to you later.
Thanks for the phone call, Michelle. 508-298-0398. While we were on the phone there.
Correct.
Patriots final inactive is out. We know that six were already downgraded, including Aaron Hernandez. The final inactive for the Patriots.
Nobody.
Is Logan Mankins.
Oh.
So, I don't know. That seems, again, a little off the radar for me.
I like it.
You do.
I like it because to me, he was a guy that was struggling. You gave him last week, this week. And now he has a full month, essentially, of rest to recuperate.
You have a chance to get him to be Logan Mankins.
Now
for
I can
the
get
half.
An all pro guard for the second half of the season. I like it.
Are not that I think
at
he
all
played.
About Brockers just taking Donald Thomas to school today, though?
Sure.
Yeah, not that I thought that Mankins was really bad in the first half, but he clearly, like Andy said, has been struggling, week in and week out. You get significant time to rest now, and hopefully you can get that all-pro level.
So am I to assume he stayed here?
No, I would assume he was there.
Yeah, okay.
Because I think the rest of the guys...
Right, they would have. If he didn't go, they would have announced it, no?
I think when you announce the other guys is out, I think there's a good chance that a lot of those guys didn't make the trip.
No, I understand that. I don't know. Seems a little weird because I'm assuming the Rams probably brought like everybody.
Right.
So it's not really a fair comparison. It's not like apples to apples.
Right, because they went there Tuesday or Wednesday,
yeah, they,
or whatever.
Their whole team
right.
was there, yeah. Their whole medical, you know, for the bulk. No, I was just wondering. And like I said, I take it as a positive. I'm going to take an assumption. Total positive for these. Hernandez, you know, assuming they win today, these are all positives. They're going to be healthy for the second half. If they lose, I'll be ripping them.
But you talked about Hernandez rushing back. And I understand it wasn't an in-season injury necessarily with Mankins, though something may have flared up. But do you feel the same way about Mankins, like rushing back or rushing his way onto the field?
No.
I don't feel the same about Mankins.
I think he had unfortunate minor injuries, muscle-type injuries, that certainly could be an offshoot of coming back from ACL surgery. But I don't think, you know, he was going to play this season. You know, Wes Welker could have dealt with this when he, quote-unquote, rushed back from ACL. He didn't seem to have problems, didn't seem to have other injuries creep up. But this is a pretty common thing when you come back from a major injury and you kind of favor something a certain way, it can lead to other issues. But I don't think you can just say, well, we're going to leave Mankins out half a year just because he could potentially get a bad calf favoring his knee. You got to kind of go with what the medical plan is, and if it happens, it happens. You deal with it.
Yeah, and I also think offensive
linemen. My wife,
linemen,
by the way, she apparently doesn't know we do a pregame show.
Andy's phone just continues to ring off the hook.
All right, yeah. Blame the wife.
I also think offensive linemen are a little bit different than a skill position guy, and I don't mean that in any sort of derogatory way. I just think offensive linemen, to the contrary, I think it's complementary. I think they deal with stuff every week. I think those guys, very rarely do offensive linemen play anywhere close to 100%. Once the season starts, they're banged up and they play and they gut it out. And I think that you could make the argument that they were able to gut it out with Mankins for as long as they could. And then the last 2 weeks, he wasn't able to do it. But I don't think they pushed him, you know, like a skill guy where you see him now limping around. For example, if Hernandez had if Mankins was dealing with the same kind of ankle thing that Hernandez was, my guess is that he'd be able to play through it as a guard. But you can't run around and cut and be Aaron Hernandez without that ability to trust the ankle. I think there's a difference there.
So once again, Patriots and actives. Logan Mankins, the final one announced here. You would assume that Donald Thomas would get the start again at left guard. Also, Aaron Hernandez, Patrick Chung, Steve Gregory, Brandon Bolden, Trevor Scott, and also Tracy White have been ruled out. Before we get to the phones, 508-298-0398, let's head over to the Poll Center and Matt LaPan. What's going on, Matt?
Nothing. How are we doing today? You sure you're not worried about the storm?
Not yet. No, not yet.
900 miles. It's about
I'm
as wide as I am.
Rooting for that tree limb right through your flipping windshield.
So we got what Rams defender worries you most today?
Quinning.
Chris Long, Cortland Finnegan, Quinning. Robert Quinn, Janoris Jenkins, James Laurinaitis, Tremaine Johnson.
That's a guy the Patriots liked. Tremaine Johnson. Big DB out of what, Montana or Wyoming or one of those places
Montana
out there?
Montana State,
Montana
maybe?
State, yeah. Big guy.
The answer is Robert Quinn. The answer is Robert Quinn, no doubt.
He is in a three-way tie for second with Jenkins and Long. Cortland Finnegan, 40% right now.
That's a good one. I'm not going to lie to you. That's a good one. That's a key matchup.
Finnegan is a big matchup to me.
To me, you can win if Finnegan takes Welker out of the game. If Quinn takes Brady out of the game, you can't win. Touche. And I do think it's an interesting matchup, and I wrote this on the blog, and I would urge you to head on over to read my six-pack, wherever it is, blog, website, somewhere. I kind of posed it as my guy versus Belichick's guy. I clearly was all in on Robert Quinn. I wanted them to trade up. I wanted Robert Quinn. And Belichick stayed put and took Nate Solder. Now they're matching up today as two looks like pretty good players. It looks like both are maybe on their way to Pro Bowl-type careers. And this will be a battle of those two athletes out there.
Long, lean athletes.
We've been worried, some of us anyway.
About the storm.
About the storm. We were also a little worried about our buddy Jeff in Vegas who dials us up. What's going on, Jeff?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Better than you. We showed up on time for our show. Where the hell you been?
Drag yourself out of that gutter that you spent the night in?
Well, you know, you may have a bit of a problem when your alarm clock is going off full blast for 27 minutes.
I've actually experienced that once.
Yeah, that happened to me this morning.
Remember two men in PR for the Patriots at one time. I tried to pick him up to take him somewhere. Remember, Paul?
Oh, yeah. I heard
that story.
We're
going to a bachelor party, and I walked in his room, and the alarm clock was literally 3 inches from his ear going, meh, 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 and he wasn't moving at all. I thought he was dead.
They were going to my bachelor party.
Oh, that's right. Boy, do I have stories to tell from that, but that's for a different day. The lollipops, I'm just saying.
That was me for like the first half hour of the show. I guess I got to get to bed a little bit earlier. And I think this whole London time difference, and on some level, has thrown me off somewhat. It's weird, really weird.
You didn't go anywhere. You're still in Vegas.
In any case, was out very, very late, getting the absolute latest numbers, which are or have been pretty steady all week. Patriots by 7, total 47.5.
So how are we feeling about that?
Well, a little bit of analysis. I've sort of been fading or going against the Patriots the past several weeks. Someone like Fred Kirsch is like finally convinced that this is the week to really be cautious about the Patriots. But Fred's real late to the game. This is the week you go heavy on New England. There's a Jeff Fisher factor. Belichick just sort of likes to dish it out to Fisher. Also, it's an NFC team. They don't know New England as well. And then finally, there's a whole Bill Parcells dynamic. There are four ways to have four results for a football game. You can play poorly and lose. You can play well and lose. You can play well and win. Or you can play poorly and win. And that's the best scenario. And that's what happened last week. So I'm feeling real good about today. How about you guys?
Not as good as you are, apparently.
No.
Because I think for a good team to play poorly and win is good. The coaches can then work on things. They, you know, the heads don't get too big. The noise outside, it's easy to kind of chop them off at the knees. I think when questionable teams play poorly and win and play poorly and lose in consecutive weeks, well, maybe you just play poorly all the time.
That's kind of been the situation. They've been very inconsistent this season and within games. They've had periods where they've played very well.
But to me, that's been consistent.
Not sustained.
They've been consistently inconsistent.
Consistently inconsistent.
And
that's not good.
Not consistently playing to what we think. And I say what we think because we may have been wrong, but we think what they should be doing. You know, everybody's like, oh, they were 5-3 last year at the break, too. Well, yeah, but is this team going to go out and win 8? Because I don't know. I wouldn't predict them to win eight.
They have a similarly weak schedule, but they do have two tough games that they didn't have last year.
And right now,
game.
I don't. You could tell me they could play the Seattle Seahawks in the NFC West or whatever you want to pick, the Colts and Jags. I'm not sure I would pick them 8 straight weeks to win those games.
No, I'm with you. You can't do it.
Those are valid. Those are some excellent points. That said,
Jeff, listen. You need to go back to sleep, bud. You're just not bringing any energy today. What's the matter? I'm worried about you.
That's going to bring us all to the Justin Bieber
Funny Play of
the Week.
Heavens to Betsy!
And it's brought to you by the Eye Candy Dancers.
It's brought to you by No Dose. 5-hour energy.
Follow them at Eye Candy Dancers on Twitter. Anyway, guys, your caution makes me feel even more confident about my pick. Take New England. Give the 7, take the chalk, put the house, put your life savings on New England. They're going to win convincingly. I can't believe Michelle can't tell us whether the roof is open or not, but go under 47.5. New England will pound them today. Lock it in.
So dominant Patriots win in the under. Is that what I just heard?
Yeah, I like I like the Patriots, but I like the over again. I'm going to stick with the over.
Yeah, that could be valid. Remember, they own the Rams going back to the Super Bowl, Bill going back to the good performance, the regular season game before the Super Bowl, going back to the Adam Vinatieri fake field goal touchdown. They play well against the Rams. Belichick hates Fisher. Take the ring, give the points.
Okay, I like it. All right, I'm with you.
I'll pencil you in for lunch.
I'm giving the points, too.
Big money.
Lock it in.
All right, Jeff, thanks
just
for the phone call.
When I was talking to Mish, I should have used my Fresh Prince line. The roof was open. Music was high, and my hand was steadily up her thigh. She had opened up the buttons on her shirt.
That was
so far.
That was one of the best references I've ever heard.
Parents just don't understand, right? That would have been perfect. He's talking about her taking her shirt off. The roof was open.
Yeah, but
it was like
20 minutes late.
I know. I just thought of it. I'm sorry.
Right. Well, Jeff was asking if you know her Twitter handle, by the way.
It's on Twitter.
Her Twitter handle is on Twitter.
She tweets Patriots stuff all the time. Me, Eric, Paul.
Right.
Like
E_Scal.
No, but I mean, she interacts with us all the time. Can't you find that on people's histories
or
something?
Jeff was just wondering.
I do agree with him, though. And this is what it comes down to for me. I think the Patriots cover that number. I've been wrong the last 2 weeks, so what do I know?
Nothing.
But I do think the Patriots cover that number. And for me, the over comes down to this. Do you think the Rams can score 20?
Yeah.
And I do, too.
That's why I have the over.
Right. So
31-20.
That's how I feel about it. It's not that it's going to be one-sided and the Patriots are going to roll and pile up a ton of points. I think the Rams can score 17, 20 points. That's why I feel good about the over.
They can't get over 20. They've scored over 20 only once. I believe they've only hit 20 once this season. They are a limited team in terms of scoring points. So if you're from that side,
I feel like we're having the same
pregame
social that we've had the last three. This is 3 weeks in a row now.
Yeah, I just think
one of these weeks we're going to be.
They haven't played the Patriots secondary yet. So I don't know. I feel like
I love it when quarterbacks circle the Patriots. Ooh, career day.
I feel like that's
like
can
you just envision like you know Andrew Luck's calendar has ooh Patriots circled and like you know Ryan Tannehill's like ooh Patriots.
I feel like that's significant. You know, like well, yeah, they haven't scored 20 yet, but they haven't gone against the secondary
during the course of the week. Adam, we were talking about a story that the Globe had. They had a chart in their paper about all the big plays that they've allowed, and they had the statistics for every quarterback they faced so far, all seven games. And they had their averages without including the Patriots game and then what they did against the Patriots. The only one who didn't have demonstratively better numbers against the Patriots than their average was Kevin Cobb, who didn't really throw the ball all that often that day against Arizona. And they had in highlights season high in various categories. Now, they had the whole line, you know, attempts complete, yards, percentage, touchdowns, whatever, rating. And they highlighted the season high for each of the six out of the seven guys had a season high against the Patriots in something. Whether they threw like Sanchez 328 yards was a season high. His 68 whatever complete was a season high. And six out of seven guys had a season high in something against the Patriots. That's not a small sample. That's the whole season. So far.
And
so,
if Bradford's as good as you think he is, then he should be able to exploit it, no?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't have any weapons.
That's true.
Just a quick note, and this relates to Sam Bradford exploiting anything.
Mm-hmm.
The Rams have injuries, obviously, at offensive line. Wayne Hunter out. And Joe Barksdale is slated to start at left tackle for the Patriots. I mean, against the Patriots. Claimed off waivers last month by them. And So Chandler Jones, maybe this could be a big day. Big day for Bill. Shutting my mouth.
If
Solder shuts down Quinn and then Chandler Jones has like three sacks, Andy, how do you like him?
And this is a bad offensive line for St. Louis when healthy.
Yeah, but last time I predicted this against the Cardinals, against that, you know, Joe Bautista guy or whatever, he didn't do it.
And that guy's been getting killed in every other game.
Actually, I think it's Quinn might have had a big game. Did he have three sacks against him?
Yeah, they had nine as a team.
Yeah, that was Quinn's three-sack game. See?
There you go.
I'm saying
C2. It all comes full circle. It is bad when Wayne Hunter is an upgrade to your offensive line.
When you're
line.
Like, well, shoot, Wayne Hunter's out.
Right. But that is not a good sign.
He's their backup. Mm-hmm. Right. Roger Saffold has been out for a while. He was declared he was out one of the early downgrades on Friday. So you're looking at your third tackle, and Andy's right. They picked up Joe Barksdale and then a backup guard named Shelly Smith off of waivers about a month ago.
I mean, and she's a sideline reporter.
I was going to say, yeah.
Fisher. Well, this guy's probably not as big as her.
She's got. You beat me to the build, Joe. Yeah.
Oh, wow. What? I say what everyone else is thinking.
It was a triple rim shot.
Yeah.
Is what it was. Yeah.
It's funny.
She got a big rim.
But Fisher had spoken this week about how those two guys specifically were ready because they just got there. They were learning the offense and all that stuff. So. Who knows?
I love when Paul tries to just trudge on about football when we're having like a circus in the background.
But I started the circus. I was the one that made the remark about Shelly Smith.
I look over. Adam's giggling. Like we got rim shots going off left and right in the background.
Speaking of ESPN sideline reporters, did you guys happen to see the little commercial they did? They have like a little promotion with, what's her name? Samantha Steele?
Mm-hmm. That's what's his name's girlfriend, right?
Yes, she dates Christian Ponder. Yes.
Yes, okay.
sounds like a porno
Pounding
name.
Ponder. That should be like, they should do like a porno like that with somebody that kind of looks like her and then like a guy in a Vikings jersey comes in. That'd be a good one.
She's got the name for it.
Yeah.
But the promotion, yeah? What were you talking about there?
It's one of those things like pornography. You know it when you see it or hear it.
They have the, she's like... teaching like a sideline reporter class, and there's these two bozos that are asking all kinds of dumb questions, and Barry Switzer comes out and they're asking him questions and like, you know, stuff like, do you think a touchdown is worth as much today as it was when you coached, and stuff like, you know, like really like over the top, you know, satire stuff. But I'm thinking to myself, it's really not all that far off from what they really ask. I mean, I know that they're trying to be funny, and it is funny, but I'm like thinking to myself, the real questions that sideline reporters ask aren't any more probing than these.
Yeah, Bob Stoops got all pissy last night when she asked
about
that.
Yeah, that's a setup question.
It was just a question.
Really, it wasn't a setup. I'm just asking you, you know, what happened? Because they never announced it.
Setup question.
Speaking of questions.
Notre Dame was involved, and they just called a touchdown back for no reason.
Speaking of questions.
Two morons today. You can get in touch. Email us. Andy's boy Al writes in to web radio, patriots.com.
Haven't heard much from strippers, by the way, in the aftermath of that beatdown by a pathetic Notre Dame team.
Guys, two questions. First, do you think the Patriots should cut Ross I. Dowling? Second,
no.
The secondary, is it possible in the last 4 or 5 years we drafted several players, but we couldn't find good players? Is it only me, or is it coaching and not just personnel? As always, less Andy, more Paul.
I don't think they should cut Dowling. I think that there are some things that he – it's such small sample, but there are some things that he's shown that I think he does well.
I mean, I know he's on IR, so obviously it's a major step back, and that's significant, but I thought he played okay in that game, to be honest.
I think he's extremely...
Yeah, last week?
Yeah,
I thought he was okay.
I think he's extremely limited, though, and this is something Andy and I have been noticing about him. I think that he can be an effective cover guy within about 10 yards of the line of scrimmage. I think the more you make him move, the less effective he is. I think on those slants, the quick slants, I think he does a good job of using his size. I think he has long arms. I think that helped him on one of the breakups last week. But I think the more you make him move, I don't think that he is fluid at all. And that's going to hurt him, as teams. I think if he played on a full-time basis, teams would take advantage of him.
I see what you did there. That's going to hurt him. He's always hurt.
That really wasn't what I did. But anyway.
Your thoughts on
I wouldn't cut him. I think that he's too young.
You're being Andy Hart.
I wouldn't cut him, but I don't think he has a future.
I think that this is what he is. I mean,
you wouldn't cut him now, but he could be on the chopping block come training camp.
Yeah, I don't think – I thought he played okay last week, but – I've always thought he was a stiff corner who I thought was going to struggle against quick receivers. I don't think he moves well laterally. And maybe the stiffness is part of all these leg and muscle and hip injuries that he gets. But I think he was a busted pick. I don't think you're ever going to get first pick of the second round talent out of Ross
I. agree with that wholeheartedly. He was hurt in high school. He was hurt in college. He's been hurt as a pro. And
that hurts.
You know, I think that is what he is. And he's an injury prone guy. I think he's going to continue to be iffy.
I don't think
you can ever rely. No, Greg Bedard wrote that today in the Globe. I don't know if you saw that, but
I did not.
You know, a lot of people are giving him a hard time, but he was. This is what he was.
Patriots, you blame Bill. You drafted this. If the car was like stumbling when you bought it in the lot, and then it finally starts, and you're driving out, and it's like backfiring. Well, you don't buy it when test drives like that. You test drove it, and you decided to buy it anyway for a high price.
And the first time, you know, that he gets hurt, you can't really be surprised. You know, he's been hurt. There's even a story that they worked him out in the pre-draft process, and he got injured during the pre-draft. I hadn't heard that.
I hadn't heard it either.
The Globe wrote that either on, I think it might have been Saturday's paper. I read that.
They've actually known it for 2 years.
Josh Boyer was part of the individual workout, and he needed time. I don't know if he continued the workout or if he needed to stop because he got injured.
I haven't seen that, but that's mind-boggling.
And Bill was like, no, that's the guy I wanted the first pick of the second round. No, I like him. He played through pain.
That's also been out there. I mean, Andy's exaggerating it, but that part of it has also been out there that this was kind of Bill's outside-the-box pick. He kind of went against the scouts' recommendations. We've seen that alluded to, I think, by Peter King in the past.
Been alluded to in the war room, too.
Maybe that's what it was.
It's out there.
But it's been out there. It's been out there. That's for sure. Because we don't disclose that kind of information.
I got to tell you, this has been a very insightful program, and I like the Dowling stuff. But with the hurricane talk and the porno talk and whatever else we've gotten to, this has been great. I will say this might be the highlight though of our first hour. It's time for our Bose headphone giveaway. The eighth caller to the contest line 508-298-0392. Again, the contest line 508-298-0392 wins a pair of Bose SIE2 Sport headphones. To push your workout to the limit, you need headphones that can keep up. Bose SIE2 Sport headphones are engineered for exercise, offering acclaimed Bose sound, sweat and weather resistance, a comfortably secure and exclusive Reebok fitness armband. You demand more from your workout. Shouldn't you demand more from your headphones as well? Bose, game-changing sound. So dial up the contest line. You'll have a chance for that free giveaway. And I promise we will get to the Patriots offensive game plan. I alluded to that earlier. We'll get to it next here on Patriots.com.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call Better Banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Hey, it's Rob Gronkowski, Pat's tight end and big-time Duncan fan. The secret to my success? Coach drew up a play called Gronk, run downfield, catch ball out of air, and we give you freshly made bakery sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. I say Coach is a genius.
No defense keeps Gronk from his freshly made bakery sandwiches. Hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab your go-to sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
This is Brandon Bolden of New England Patriots, and I get ready for every game with Andy Hart and Paul Perello on the Patriots pregame social.
Second hour of the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. You just heard Brandon Bolden, one of the Patriots' seven inactives, as we got the news leading up to this game against the St. Louis Rams, 1 o'clock Eastern kickoff time from London. Logan Mankins is the seventh and final inactive for the Patriots. You just heard the running back there. We mentioned Logan Mankins, the offensive lineman. And we've sort of danced around it a little bit. How much do the Patriots emphasize the running game in this matchup with the Rams?
Theoretically you'd think they would, but the Rams, correct me on this, Paul, I believe they've allowed 150 yards total in the last 3 weeks on the ground. I don't know that specifically, but that sounds right. They have been very, very good. Yeah. I mean, as much as I say they're good on the edge,
with Brockers, Laurinaitis is having a very good year. They're pretty good up the middle.
Yeah, they're
too.
Under 100, 98, 99 yards a game.
And I believe
defense.
The last 3 weeks, it's totaled 152 yards or something like that in the three games. So they're playing well on defense in general. They're a top 10 defense. It's another one of these teams that Paul Perlow overlooks simply because they're from the NFC West, which he thinks sucks. But they can play defense. They can be physical with
sort
you.
Sort of the records.
And you look at Brockers. You look at Brockers. I mean, that's a guy in the middle. Obviously a high talented pick. Some people thought he was kind of a Richard Seymour type, and he's been healthier, playing better of late. So, you know, I don't know if you can just say, well, we're going to run the ball today because they're, you know, that'll neutralize the pass rush. Well, no, they're pretty good against the run, too.
And I think that's one of those teams that we were talking about how the Patriots like to try to dictate the matchup, and they get you in a sub package. Well, I think Andy's right. I think a guy like Brockers can stay out there on three downs and still be tough to run against. Between the tackles, even if you have them in sub packages, and they have Kendall Langford as well inside. Those guys.
And Chris Long's pretty good against the run.
See, Brockers missed the beginning part of the season. He missed the first, I want to say, three games. And he's really been slow to come back. Andy's girl, Judy Batista, getting some ESPN time.
Loving it.
She's also tweeting a lot about the hurricane, which is definitely rubbing Pac-Man.
Yeah, he's pissed. She's actually acknowledging that there's a major storm hitting the East Coast.
Yeah, they've already canceled school tomorrow in New York City.
It's a billion-dollar storm.
Again,
you want to clarify your position of being a moron?
I don't see how you guys don't understand this. You know, in New York, I think it would be a big deal. Here, I'm just not so sure. That's
all. Well, we're 200 miles away from New York. Mm-hmm. So if it's a big deal 200 miles away, it's a big deal.
When it's 900 miles wide.
Yeah, but it could just be the top of the 900 miles.
Right now, somewhere at Northeastern, they're saying, can we not claim him as an alumni? Is there a way to cut ties with a guy?
I'll take Jones down to my house. We'll put him on the beach overnight.
Yeah.
See how he likes
that.
Yeah, a little
boogie boarding.
Great. That sounds wonderful.
Give him a chair and a tent, and he's all set.
Yeah.
Idiot.
Sounds like a nice little
so
weekend.
So I think this is a challenge for the Patriots offense in general, as our good friend Matt LePan, way over in the poll center, in his Asics running shirt said, yes, that's irony.
he fills it out quite nicely.
He does.
300-pound running shirt.
That's
the right.
A and the S are quite a distance apart.
It's more of a theoretical running shirt than an actual used running shirt. No, I think this is a challenge for the entire Patriots offense. I think... You know, they're not just going to walk over the Rams. And part of that is, you know, sometimes I think teams that are really physical piss the Patriots off, kind of get a bee in their bonnet. And obviously that's what Jeff Fisher wants to do. That's what, what's the other guy's name again, Paul?
I don't know.
Who's not the assistant? He used to be the Rams, the Titans D coordinator, safety.
Chuck Cecil. Chuck
Cecil. This is what they want to do. They want to be annoying pissants that kind of get up in your mug. They'll do it to Brady. They'll do it to Welker. And I'm not sure the Patriots always respond well to that. So I think this is a challenge. And the guys up front, you know, no Mankins. So you're going to have Thomas, Wendell, Conley, if he doesn't have indigestion from fish and chips, will be out there. And, you know, that's a challenge for them to kind of establish things up front.
That was I don't know if you caught it.
No,
the post-game last week with Conley.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear what Belichick said?
Oh, no.
Belichick said indigestion.
You know, we know that Conley... You know, was missing for most of the pregame last week.
Illness was the official.
And he was dealing with an illness. And he started the game, but then left the game and didn't play, you know, beyond the first series, didn't play the rest of the way. And Belichick said he was dealing with an illness or indigestion or something.
Which I took as a shot at him. Like, there's a difference between an illness like you're vomiting your guts out and indigestion.
And I have some heartburn.
Right. It couldn't find any Tums. The trainers don't have Tums. They have Vicodin, but they don't have Tums.
Right. I did not catch that.
Yeah, so
I thought you were referencing the fish and chips joke, which I thought was moderately clever. Yeah.
Yeah, well
it was kind of rolled into the good background info by Paul, kind of painting the picture here.
Yeah,
it was not a shot at Dan Conley.
I thought it was a very strange thing for a coach who almost never says anything specifically about why a guy is or isn't playing to say indigestion, as if, you know, he had an owie.
We talked about the Patriots being, not Connolly necessarily, but the Patriots being a little dinged up when we referenced the bye week. Kenny writes into Web Radio at Patriots.com. Guys, looking forward to the game and also the bye week. It's odd I'm looking forward to a bye week, but hopefully we get a little bit more healthy. Anyways, the questions in regard to our secondary. Do you see Dowling being put on IR as a blessing in disguise?
No. I think he's a young guy who, theoretically, you want to find out what he can do, and this pushes it back a year. And it's in a secondary where you'd like to find some guys that can do stuff. You know, we've all kind of grasped on to Dennard or Dennard. Which one is it now?
Dennard.
But you want more of those guys. Yeah, I think they're going to be better when Chung and Gregory come back. I think that's going to be a huge factor back there. But you want to have extra bodies. You want to have as many bodies as possible. And this is a guy that theoretically, was your starter last year, was your starter entering training camp this year, so you'd want him in your mix of six DBs or whatever.
Yeah, he's losing a lot of experience, and I don't think it's – I don't – listen, he was probably the fourth or fifth corner at this point. I mean, I don't think he was going to play a major role in the 2012 defense unless you got hit with a lot more injuries. But he is a guy that you took with the first pick of the second round that is missing now 2 years' worth of experience. He's not going to get any better from IR. I don't see how you'd necessarily paint that as a blessing in disguise. Like I said, I don't think it's a huge loss because I think they were they're clearly going with Dennard and even Sterling Moore over him, along with McCourty and Arrington. But you have a guy that you invested a lot in, and he's not going to be able to play. And when I say invested a lot, I think the first pick of the second round is a high investment. It's not necessarily a high financial one, but you expect a second round pick, especially
It's a big asset that you use. Yeah,
and one slot away from being Bill doesn't swing and miss on first round picks. Even the ones that have sucked have been either competitive players, 2-time Pro Bowlers like Brandon Merriweather. I mean, you're one pick away from this being by far the worst pick of the Belichick era. If he was the last pick in the first round, you'd say this is the worst bust that Bill has ever drafted.
And now you're heading into year three when you expect a guy like that to be, you know, if not a cornerstone to your defense, a significant starter.
At least not a question mark.
And he has, he has nothing. You can't go into the offseason now thinking anything of him heading into 13.
Continuing with the emails and sticking with the secondary, Bill writes into web radio at patriots.com, and this is bigger picture. I hear Ed Reed is a free agent next year.
I don't believe Ed Reed will ever play a game for anybody but Baltimore. That's just my opinion. I think he'll retire if he doesn't come back and play for the Ravens.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I'm sure Bill would look into it.
I was going to say,
Bill's madly in love with him.
We know Belichick's high on him. But,
and he still can play, by the way.
Yeah.
He's not who he once was, but he's still pretty
probably
good.
Probably 80%. And, you know, as they say, 80% of Ed Reed's better than most.
Did you see that they ended up getting fined for that?
Yes. Wow. Just like the Redskins did for Griffin.
Yeah, I don't get it. I really don't get it. There's so many I don't know how they pick and choose these things. I don't know why is that a violation? I don't know. I just don't get the way the NFL handles that injury report thing. It's such a farce.
I don't, aside from Ed Reed, I don't even know that the Patriots make a big splash there anyway. Like, weren't we sort of bracing ourselves for that this year and they signed Gregory, which they invested money in, and it's a 3-year deal or whatever it is. I mean, there's significant, you invested a significant amount there, but it wasn't like that was a household name. I don't see them doing that.
And is it time to do that? Is it time to make a little bit of a splash?
That's
in,
what
in
I've
the
said.
Secondary?
You've tried to do it through the draft. Well, you've tried to do it through low-price free agents.
I think just about everybody feels like they probably should.
That's the only thing they haven't tried. They haven't tried a $50 million secondary player.
It's
a trade before the end of this week. A possibility, do you think?
No. Well, I mean, it's a possibility for a Jag. I just don't think a trade for if everybody was throwing around Eric Berry and Brandon Flott. No, there's no freaking way that's going to happen. But, yeah, maybe they trade for some Jag that they think could try to help them this year, bottom of the roster guys somewhere else. But
the one thing I would leave the door open for with the trade deadline, and I agree with you, it does time out nicely with the bye week. If you want to integrate a player, that sets up pretty nicely for the Patriots. So I don't think they do it either. But remember, when they traded Randy Moss, and that wasn't, a run-of-the-mill scenario, but that's what they did.
But it was a draft pick. They didn't trade Randy Moss for, somebody that was on that team at the time.
Right.
Sidney Rice.
And then traded to integrate Deion Branch. So I wasn't a one-for-one.
And it's trading for a guy who was already here. If they could reacquire Asante Samuel, sure, that would make a lot of sense this week. A guy who's been here before, who's good.
Get him up to speed.
But
there are individual things like that that you can do that, like Andy says, they're kind of like perfect storm kind of situations.
And that's why I think everybody kind of pointed to the Kansas City things, because Romeo's there. Maybe there's enough similarity. You can bring those players in, and it would be quick. And I'd love to see either of those guys. Sure, sign me up. But what's the deal? Does it make sense? I just find it hard to believe that they would have that kind of a splash. I'd be pumped. I'd be jacked, like Pete, but not going to happen.
Why does Kansas City trade Eric Berry?
Yeah, well, that one doesn't make – I didn't mean him specifically.
That's one that Andy's right.
That's been thrown around.
Yeah. And if you're Lamar Hunt, or whatever the Hunt's name is – it's
Clark,
not Mike.
Clark.
Why would you allow Scott Pioli, if you're thinking of firing Scott Pioli, if you're blowing it to
why
trade one of your best assets
correct.
Midway through to a team he could be working for again in in 6 months? So to me, it's too hard to find the perfect situation where you could add an impact secondary player at this point.
Yeah, it's just so hard in football, and I know that it's we use a generalization and say, well, you know, it's hard to get a guy to come in and learn your system and be able to play midstream.
And roof's open, according to Mish.
And I know there's a lot of different examples that you can use, like you said, you know, like you talked about, of guys that have gotten traded. You know, remember, it almost seems like whenever significant players get traded at the trading deadline, it's a contract dispute.
Right, I was going to say, like, I would...
There's somebody that's disgruntled. Remember Chris Chambers went from Miami to San Diego several, you know, going back.
Like, the player in Kansas City, I wouldn't be surprised if they traded and everyone's honed in on is Bo.
Dwayne
Bo. Because he's under the franchise. Like, that makes sense.
Yeah, I have a question about that, too, that we still don't have the answer to, right? You know, the whole Dwayne Bo thing. Can the Patriots actually acquire someone who's on a franchise tag when they already have someone on a franchise tag? I don't think they can. I'm not positive. I haven't checked that. I meant to actually ask somebody about that, and it slipped my mind. But something Andy and I were talking about in PFW in Progress during the week. I don't know if you can do that. And evidently, Adam Jones thinks that
with his big lip sticking out.
He thinks that was interesting. Unlike Hurricane Sandy,
right. I got to tell you, I would take that Dwayne Bo story over that any day of the week. I do think the big picture...
We don't even know the answer to the Dwayne Bo story.
That's why it's interesting. The big picture thing with Bo...
Plus, I hate him.
Yeah, why do we need Dwayne Bo?
Oh, I think he sucks. I think he's
an
overrated
physical
specimen.
I'm not saying he's not better
than
Brandon Lloyd. I think he is, but...
Sorry, I said Bo. The bigger picture thing with the secondary, I meant, is, you know, how do they fix it longer term? We know in season the option... We know the options. They really have to get healthy.
Get better.
That's really it.
And
so
even
that's
that,
limited.
I find funny, is like... As I thought Steve Gregory was going to be a huge positive force heading into the season. And then a couple weeks into it, people were like, Steve Gregory, you remember he got hurdled by somebody? Paul Pryor.
Donald
remembers.
Jones or whatever.
Hurdled
Dennis
him.
Pitta.
And people were we got to get Gregory out of the lineup. He stinks. And now we're back to, well, we need Gregory back in the lineup because he's like the solidifying force. It's, well, we don't even really know what Gregory is on this defense yet. He hasn't played enough, so you're like, you know what you're going to get out of it. It's just he's got to be better than what they're doing now is basically the principle.
Yeah, and I just think if you're talking about getting better and you want to point to something, that's one of the legitimate options. You know, and I guess a trade is, but none of us feel like that's a likely scenario. So how you fix it in season, the options are fairly limited. How
get
you
healthy
it,
and get better.
But how you do it big picture is interesting because drafting these guys hasn't been working.
I'm with Andy on this. I think that they need to identify a cornerback that they think is really good.
$50 million. Give them $50 million.
Make it, you know, and I don't know if it's a $50 million cornerback who's going to be a free agent next year.
There probably is.
But, yeah, you're right. There probably is. I think they need to identify somebody and go after him and do so with an aggressive nature instead of, you know.
And that's the one position or one of the where you can get a – like every year a high-money corner changes teams.
Well, yeah. Look, Finnegan did it.
I'm not saying they should have done
Asante Samuel,
I would have done
Jonathan
it, I would
Joseph,
have done it with
Dunta Robinson.
I would have done it with Carr. I wouldn't have
every
done
year.
It with Finnegan.
You got to make sure you get the right one. Nate Clements got $80 million or whatever, and these guys, various guys.
And he's good, not great.
Right, you got to pick the right one.
He wasn't worth that contract, but he's a good player. I'd take him,
but
too. Not anymore.
You know,
but
you can't get a franchise quarterback as a free agent. You know, Drew Brees was something special. That doesn't happen very often. You can get a franchise corner or a pretty damn high-level corner. Maybe not Darrell Revis, Champ Bailey, but you can get pretty close up there, top five, top seven corners through free agency.
And I'm not criticizing the Patriots' free agency approach. I think it's the right one in general. Again, speaking with broad brush terms here, I think kind of going after mid-level guys, you know, Steve Gregory, Jonathan Fernandez, you know, listen, some of them didn't pan out, obviously. There were, you know, so you do it with varying degrees of success. But I don't think that you quick fix your team by throwing a boatload of money a la Mario Williams.
Or Adalys Thomas. Or
you know, and doing it that way. I have no problem with the Adalys Thomas signing because even though that was a lot of money, it wasn't a blow your whole budget out of the water if this guy doesn't pan out deal. Now, they thought that he was going to be something significantly more than he was. That's a football thing that obviously came back to hurt them. But that didn't hurt them on the salary cap. I think when you make a $100 million investment in a guy and he doesn't really do it for you, that hurts you in every way. It hurts you on the field. It hurts you off the field.
You shouldn't be investing any $100 million in anything other than a quarterback.
Yeah,
no other position is worth $100 million.
I agree with that, too, you know, as a bigger picture issue. But I think the Patriots do it right in free agency. I just once in a while would like to see them do the Adalys Thomas thing a little bit more often. Now, you got to hit it. You can't miss. But it seems like the Patriots are very reluctant to say, I really like that guy, and I'm going to make sure that guy is on my team, and I'm going to go out and get him. They don't do that very often.
And look, I'm not closing the door on Ed Reed like you are. I think he gets a bee in his bonnet sometimes, and I could see him. Something doesn't happen right like he wants it in Baltimore.
Second time he's used bee in bonnet.
Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. I disagree. I think that
craw in his fish. What is it? Stuck in my craw.
Stuck in his craw.
I think he gets something stuck in his craw his sometimes. Fish. And don't you
man
think
went to gonna, the man went to Tufts?
Craw in his fish.
Laugh it up. And we know Bill likes him. We know Bill's done this, the veteran safety a few times. Even Josh McDaniels tried to get his Rodney Harrison and Brian Dawkins out in Denver. So I'm not closing the door on the Ed Reed thing. I think he's a guy that could say, oh, you don't want, I'll go to the Patriots. Screw you.
I am closing the door.
I think it opened up an interesting discussion, bigger picture, with what the Patriots are going to do in the secondary, whether it's Reed
today, you know,
whether it's someone else. I just think, you know, people sort of.
It stinks when we all three think the same exact thing is going to happen
but
in the
it's
game.
Just, and it's not just us, though. People are – all the questions are coming in about the secondary. How do you fix
it? We're email-driven.
I mean, it's
– we go where the people
take us. The
questions
are, how do you fix it? What do you want us to say? Malcolm Williams? Like, that's not, you know, bigger
picture.
He
was
promoted
to the active roster,
yeah,
though.
That's why I used that
good
name.
Good point.
I
see what
you did
there.
That name, yeah.
We needed more special teamers who didn't play defense in college because Nate Ebner didn't get it done and Julian Edelman didn't get it done.
But, you know, but bigger picture.
Who knew Adam Jones knew who Malcolm Williams was?
Yeah,
why is half our defense filled with special teamers who didn't play defense in college?
Again,
that's one of those questions you just have to ask.
And these that's are overrated.
That, and these are things that you circle back to when you go, well, how are
good
they going to fix
it? Good news is Devin McCourty did play special teams.
You can weigh in with questions you have on this game or bigger picture questions, 508-298-0398. You can also email us webradio at patriots.com. Yeah, we'll do that in a little bit. We'll also talk to Eric Scalavino and do our six-pack next here on patriots.com.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Hey, it's Rob Gronkowski, Pat's tight end and big-time Duncan fan. The secret to my success? Coach drew up a play called Gronk, run downfield, catch ball out of air, and we give you freshly made bakery sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. I say Coach is a genius.
No defense keeps Gronk from his freshly made bakery sandwiches. Hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab your go-to sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
Welcome back to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Have a hot take on today's game? Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now back to Adam, Paul, and Andy broadcasting live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium.
You know, this whole thing's just been a mess, really, since we started, and that was really.
You could definitely hear that.
First of all, I didn't say the word.
That was really.
I stopped at ho. I didn't say that. But I was yelling at Paul because he said he wouldn't have been sad to miss his kids trick or treating if they had to go tonight.
If it's going to be the weather, and I know that Pac-Man is completely dismissing this, but I would rather have missed it and had my two sons gone out tonight with my wife, as opposed to being there. Selfishly, you know, in terrible weather. And that makes me what Andy Hart said is coming back.
No, because you said I would be upset to miss it anytime. I want to be there for trick or treating with my children.
A-hole.
I don't know. I love my kids, maybe, Paul.
You know, some people are there for their children all the time, not just on Halloween night. You know what I'm saying?
That is true. I hear you. By the way, Nano writes into
what a shock.
WebRadioPatriots.com, and this made me laugh.
This is what you guys always do. You change my argument and put words in my mouth.
So Mr. Jones doesn't think the hurricane is coming or think it's a big deal. Never has a man with such a vast collection of scarves so brazenly flashed a pair of faux brass balls towards Mother Nature.
Faux brass balls.
That's true. I may have to break out my scarves. I may have to
What
break
about
it out
your faux brass balls?
If the weather's
Round
there.
Of applause
no, the,
for that.
The faux brass balls are always out. Those are always out.
If we still had an emailer of the week, that would be it.
Yeah, that was well done. I got to tell you.
You should get the headphones.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't think
maybe
it's legal for us to just pick and choose how that works.
By the way, we do have a winner. That seems like a nice segue. Jake Anderson, Pittsfield, Massachusetts, is our winner.
You know, I'm noticing a lot of people that are winning the contests that don't necessarily
take part in the show.
Take part in the show. Which
I like that.
It's a good and a bad thing. It means there's a lot of people
listening.
that aren't
it's not
taking
just
part
Fat
in the show
Al and Jeff
listening.
And a couple others.
Jeff in Vegas.
I like it. Congratulations,
they're
Jake.
They're afraid Andy's going to call them an a-hole on the air is what they're afraid of. That's
or
why they
just yell at them in general. Right. You never know.
Yeah, that's true. That
I
could
don't
be
yell
true.
At listeners.
He's vulnerable.
I was yelling at Paul.
He's
and called him an a-hole.
Right. Except more than that.
I got to get – there's a guy named Kev that called in today that was like caller 1, 4, and then like 10. So I got to get him one at some point. So shout out to him. Because he called in 3 times.
In light of what we just talked about, that's probably a comment that you could have saved for off the air.
Absolutely rigging it right now.
No, he's my
just
boy.
Like,
though.
Just like Andy like cursing week. On the air, you should.
You understand what I'm saying?
Let's read an email.
Well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Let's move on.
Let's go to WebRadioPatriots.com. James writes in, guys.
It's a buzzkill.
I'm sitting here with my coffee, waiting for the game to start. And yes, I'm
Do you
wondering.
Have creamer in yours?
I'm wondering where the hell Jeff in Vegas was. I'm thinking one of the few things, during the week. Is that I've heard plenty of talk that the Patriots will be different this week playing football on that turf as opposed to playing here, which is something you referenced earlier. In other words, you don't think that...
Now he's just staring. And the think, he's talking to is Paul Perillo.
You
yes.
You don't think the turf is going to be a big issue, in other words, is something you referenced.
Well, I mean, I do think it's a little bit of a slower track, as Belichick mentioned during the course of the week. But I think it was really bad the year, I think it was Miami and the Giants, because there was a lot of rain. And Belichick had mentioned that he was expecting a tough track, but it wasn't that bad. It was pretty good in terms of a natural grass field. And the only problem was when it got wet. And I don't think that I don't know if it's going to be raining during the course of the day today. I don't know what the forecast is. I do know it's around 40 degrees Fahrenheit, in case you wanted to know.
Yes.
To separate that from Kelvin. I don't think the turf is a huge issue, but I also don't think the Patriots are an overly fast team. They play fast. This is, you know, not to use the Andy Hart football terms that he likes. You know, there's a difference between being fast and playing fast. I think the Patriots play fast, but I don't think they blow anybody away with their team speed. Do you, Andy?
I think you're mocking me.
I thought that was actually a good Andyism.
Team speed. No, I don't think they blow anybody away. And I think part of that is
they do play
even
fast, don't you agree?
Right. In other words, their tempo's fast, but they're not individually fast.
Right. I don't think that a slow track necessarily affects your ability to play up tempo.
Right. And it certainly doesn't affect a guy like Gronk, who's just going to be big and you're going to be draped all over him, and he's going to catch it and then run forward and take a big shot in the back and get up slow and be banged.
Whereas
up.
Maybe a guy like Chris Givens, if he's this big home run threat, and I'd be anxious to see him today because I haven't really seen a lot of the highlights. It might affect a guy like that. If he relies on speed to get deep and, you know, maybe it's a slower track, that might work against him.
Quick note out of the Twitter center.
Andy Hart.
No, I was just shut up. Eric Scalavino, E-Scal, if you want to follow him on Twitter,
yes.
Because he's disassociated
himself with
PFW.
Just so you know, I'm about
PFW.
To unfollow him.
E underscore Scal,
sorry. Devin McCourty taking team warm-up reps at corner, not safety. Rookie Nate Ebner lining up next to Tavon Wilson at safety. If you recall, that's what they did last week as well. And then when, you know, the actual game started, Devin McCourty was out at safety. I don't believe when we're worrying about 50-yard passes to Chris Givens, they're going to allow
Nate Ebner
to step
out there,
the
right?
I may be wrong. I may be reading these tea leaves improperly
across
the pond.
We'll ask Eric Scalavino, E-Scal, as it were. Coming up here in about 15 minutes, we'll get his thoughts on that as well as his Twitter name change. We'll also get to our six-pack. But first, let's get over to the poll center and hear from Matt LePan.
So we're going to wrap up on the last poll, which Rams defender worries you most.
Quinning.
Andy, your promotion of Quinn got him up there tied with Finnegan at 33%.
That's a good, fair assessment. I think they both could have a very big impact on this game.
And then Jenkins and Long at 17%.
Are good, too.
Nobody afraid of Laurinaitis or Jermaine Johnson.
Nor should they be. No, good job, fans. You came to your senses.
And last poll of the day we're going to put up, which matchup will have the biggest effect on today's game? Apparently the
that was me.
Windows 8.
The Patriots tackles, Solder and Vollmer versus Long and Quinn.
It's a good one. I like that one.
Sam Bradford versus the Patriots defensive backs.
That's a good one, too.
Welker versus Courtland Finnegan.
That's a good one.
Brandon Spikes versus Steven Jackson.
Whoever does these polls did a pretty good job. Took to the fourth one before I didn't think it was relevant.
Vince Beaufort versus Robert Turner. That's their center, Andy.
Yes. I can't name their center or their left tackle. Birkenstock or Dale or something.
Or Brandon Lloyd versus Janoris Jenkins.
Yeah, that one's useless. Much like Lloyd.
Just because you hate him. You don't have to,
just because
don't have
I have to throw to him eight times and he gets 1 6-yard screen out of the deal and drops bombs.
So they're all good matchups. Which one do you hone in on?
The tackles. Give Brady time and he'll win these battles. I think Welker, if he, you know, you might have a draw there. You might play that to a draw, but you have enough weapons. You'll still make plays.
I mean, it seems like we talk about the tackles every week, and they've been pretty good. Both tackles have been pretty good, especially in the last month or so.
Do you make anything of it seems like they have a good 3.5 quarters, and then at the end,
yeah.
I mean, is that a
– I do make something of
is
it.
Is that a – is that the other team's scheme? Is that physically, you know, Vollmer and Mankins, even when he's been in there, you know, aren't 100% healthy and maybe it hurts him more at the end of games? Because that seems like something, and maybe it's just in my mind's eye, but it seems like something that's been recurring.
Yeah, and I thought that the Jets made a big mistake last week at the end of the game. They dropped 8 in coverage, and I thought they allowed the two plays to Gronkowski and then the play to Woodhead at the end of regulation, whereas I thought, like Seattle did the previous week, the best way to get off the field there, to get home with a win, is by getting in Brady's face and seeing if you can get a sack or make him throw the ball earlier than he wants. And I thought they had done a nice job covering, but I think when you put all those open spaces with all those guys and you play zones, you allow guys like Woodhead specifically. That was the big play, to find open areas. They're very good at that. And I do think there's something to the fact that we Andy and I have talked about this. Nate Solder, I thought, was excellent in Seattle, but all of a sudden, you know, they're on the goal line at the end of the first half and they couldn't protect. And at the end of the game, when they're down one, they couldn't protect. So I do think there's something to that, that all of a sudden when the other team needs to get pressure, they seem to be able to.
All right, we got a lot to get to here. We'll continue with your phone calls, 508-298-0398, your emails to webradio@patriots.com. But let's do our Sunday six-pack.
Ah, nothing like cracking open a six-pack. Andy, Paul, and Adam pick six games against the spread. And just like your favorite beer, these guys are ice cold.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
Time for the Sunday six-pack.
All right, let's get right to them. Kevin, I know you've been keeping track of how we've been doing these past couple of weeks. So how we handled the four-pack last week?
It was a rough go for all parties last week. Andy 0-4, Paul 1-3, you were 1-3.
Which, by my math, is one game below 500.
For the season, Adam and Paul tied for first, 13-9. Andy 8-14.
So, you know.
I had one bad week.
Just something to chew on.
Or two.
Just something to chew on while you're listening to some of these predictions. What's our first game, Kev?
So here we go, this week. First game you gave me is Jacksonville at Green Bay. Green Bay by 14.5.
That's a big number that I need to ponder. But I will take Green Bay.
What you do in your own time is all up to you.
I will take Green Bay to win and cover. I hate Jacksonville, and I think the Green Bay offense is starting to find itself. You know, that's the big term this year, identity and find yourself after college while backpacking through Europe. I think Green Bay is finding itself.
I'm not exactly sure where that accent came
from. It's interesting, though. The Patriots trying to find themselves. You know, a lot of college students go to Europe to find themselves. Maybe they'll find themselves in Europe this week.
There you go.
All right.
That's a nice segue.
Excellent. I am going to agree with Andy. I think that Green Bay will win this game. They have sort of taken on that mindset that the old Patriots teams used to, and somehow they find a way to say that teams no longer, people no longer respect them. I think, you know, they lost three games, and I don't really recall anybody jumping off the Green Bay bandwagon to the point where they were no longer a good team. But they're using that right now, and they have that us-against-the-world mentality. And they'll lay a whooping on Jacksonville, who I think is the worst team in football.
Oh, they're horrible, but 14.5 is a big number. I'm not sure Jordy Nelson plays. I think their other receivers are pretty good. I'll take the points there. So Kevin, what's our next game?
Next game, Atlanta at Philly. Philly minus 3.
You go first, Paul.
I am going to take the Eagles to win this game. I believe that the Atlanta Falcons are 6-0, and more power to them. I think they've been thoroughly unimpressive in most of those wins. They've had some tight wins at home against inferior teams like Oakland and Carolina.
He hates a lot of undefeated teams, Notre Dame, Atlanta.
I think that the Eagles, as inconsistent as they are, have been very good coming out of bye weeks. I believe that's the situation that Andy Reid's team is right now. I think they will win this game, and I don't believe it'll be close.
You want me to go?
Yes.
I'm going to side with Paul. I thought you were pondering. Sorry. Andy Hart is 13-0 coming off the Andy Reid, rather.
Andy Hart's never been 13-0.
Andy Reid,
that postseason,
he's actually
8-14.
Andy Reid, rather, right, is 13-0 coming off the bye week. And I'll give you this, too. Falcons are 6-0, but they're only outscoring teams by 58 points over those six games.
Despite a weak schedule.
Right. One of the worst in the league, and that's only fifth in scoring differential, despite being undefeated. I think the
Somebody
Falcons
swallowed a stat book.
I think the Falcons are just due for a loss.
Someone's a little upset at going 1-3 last week.
Yeah, so I'll go with Philadelphia.
I guess not. You know what? Andy Reid's now 13-1 coming out of the bye. The Atlanta Falcons continue to stay undefeated.
You know what he's trying to do, right?
Catch up. I need to win.
He needs to catch up.
All right, Kevin, what's next?
Third game, Miami at the Jets. Jets by 1.5.
I think this is a game that the Jets have to win, but I don't believe they will. And I think this is a situation that Miami has played pretty well, despite the fact that they just have an average 3-3 record. I think that they, with a break here or there, could be better than that, much like the Patriots have been talking about, you know, three losses by 4 points. Miami has some really tough losses. One to the Jets in overtime, one on the road in Arizona, a game that they were winning the whole way. I think they go on the road, and it's not going to be easy. I think the weather will be a factor in that game. I think it's going to impact the passing game. So it's going to come down to Sean Green against Reggie Bush, and I'm going to take Miami.
I'm going to take Miami as well. I think the Jets had like their little moral victory last week. Oh, we fought tough. I think they're going to cave in, and I think the young Miami Dolphins are going to come in emotionally and whoop it.
So I do think this is a week where we'll find out an awful lot about the Dolphins one way or the other, but I'm going to go with the Jets here. 1.5 points at home against Miami. I feel like they should be able to win and cover that. What's next, Kevin?
We have the Giants at Dallas. The Giants by two.
I think the Giants are going to win this one fairly easy. The Giants don't do anything easy.
Nope. Seasons, games, anything.
Yeah, they make life difficult on themselves, but they need this win. They don't want to drop both to Dallas just in case it comes down to that later in the season. I think they go on the road. Dallas has not been overly effective in their new palace since it opened. And I think the Giants come away with a road win because two things. Yeah, Howard Balzer wrote about that this week.
I was like, I just read that somewhere. One of our columnists wrote about it.
I think that two reasons. One, I think the Giants are flat out better than Dallas, but I also think they're so much tougher mentally than the Cowboys, and they'll get the win.
I agree. I'm taking the Giants.
Yeah.
I don't like picking the Cowboys.
I think we're going to make it a clean sweep. Honestly, if the Giants had beaten the Cowboys earlier, I'd feel a little better about it. But the fact that the Cowboys already beat them once, I feel like they're not going to beat them twice in the same season. Let's go to the next game, Kev.
Number 5, New Orleans at Denver. Denver by 7.
This one's a tough one. It's a tough number. I think Denver's a much better team than New Orleans. But, you know, a touchdown is a big number. I am going to lay the points, however. I think... the only thing that worries me a little bit is they're missing Tracy Porter in this game, the Broncos.
Porter.
And I don't think that's a great secondary even when Porter is in there. So I wonder what kind of numbers Drew Brees might put up. But, Andy, you know what I think about teams in Denver, right? Tough place to win.
To which I always said then, why did Denver make that their home if it's so tough to win? I am going to take the Denver Broncos to win at home. Peyton Manning very excited about his new Papa John's franchises that he's building out there.
Saw that.
And he eats a lot of pizza pregame and takes it out on the Saints.
So when you say picking him to win and cover is what you're
doing. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Just making sure.
We don't pick both on this show, do we? Isn't it just against the spread?
Well, you just said win. I'm siding with New Orleans, with Denver, rather. I'm going to go with New Orleans. I do think they cover that number. I think they can win that game outright.
Andy's making up some games.
So Andy does have a chance to make up some games. What's next?
Last one. Oh. Arizona at San Francisco, the Monday night game, San Francisco by 7.
I'll take the Niners. I don't like laying touchdowns with them because they just don't score all that much, but they're a much, much better team than Arizona, and I think they'll...
I will take the 49ers, yeah. Much better team. Don't ever really want to pick the Cardinals.
Yeah, I don't like laying the big number either, but I'm going to do that with the Niners. We'll make it a clean sweep with them. San Francisco across the board. That's our Sunday six-pack, which we do each and every week. Some of us... a little better than others. You can call in 508-298-0398 or email us webradio@patriots.com. Let's go to Melvin in Tennessee. What's going on, Melvin?
Melly.
Hey, how's everybody doing?
Tremendous.
You are with us? Good.
We're just bracing for a hurricane, that's all.
Oh, that's not good. Well, I was just trying to see how long is Gregory and Chung going to be out? I haven't heard any speculation of how long, which I'm pretty sure Bill isn't going to, you know, let anybody know either. But how long do you all think he's going
to
be out?
They'll both be back after the bye. Steve Gregory's been saying he wants to be back. He's ready to be back. He's day-to-day. He's itching to go in the locker room talking all the time. If he's not back after the bye, I will be stone-cold stunned. Gregory, I'm less sure. I mean, Chung, I'm less sure on, but I think he'll be back after the bye, too. I think there is some, you know, Brady, Belichick, a few players have mentioned how banged up this team was and looking forward to the bye. I think those two guys are part of that, and I think there's an understanding maybe this team will kind of regroup and come out firing as the, you know, their second season opener of everybody healthy again coming out of the bye.
Would you expect them back after the bye, Paul? You with Andy?
Yeah, I totally agree. If you look at Gregory every game, I mean every week, he's for at least the last three, he's been talking. I mean, excessively. I mean, not that it's a bad thing, but he's been always in the locker room. He's been doing regular interviews with us and talked about on Tuesday this week he wanted to be making the trip. So I don't know what the deal is there. Chung is probably a little bit – I think he's probably a little bit more banged up because his injury is newer. But, yeah, I would expect to see those guys
but
both.
But he's
back
practicing after. And – Gregory isn't.
Yeah, that's true.
What the hell's going on out there?
But a longer picture thing to look at. To focus in on today's game, let's head across the pond and go up to the press box.
We're stuck down here
it's
in the
really
studio.
Boring.
For the latest from the field, let's go to the press box.
Man, I'm glad I called that guy.
Here's Eric Scalavino.
Should we change that?
To Escal?
We should just change it to Escal.
Escal on the phone from across the pond.
We may want to change that. Eric, we'll get to your Twitter name change momentarily.
Actually, there's an underscore in there, so mind the gap, as they say here.
But
you don't know much about gaps.
One thing that we've been sort of wondering about is are the conditions there. How are the conditions for this game?
Well, our friend Mike Giardi from said that he was talking to players on the switch. I didn't really think anybody's losing their finger in warm-ups, but I'll take their word and use that they're, you know, that's not what they're used to. I mean, the field looks in pristine condition, but it has been a little misty throughout the day. So maybe there's
sure that wasn't just you? Were you moved?
I was moved a couple of times in the strip, Andy. Yeah, but so just not for your benefit either. But so you know.
Yeah, so this is the best Eric Scalavino interview we've had from the press box ever.
We can't hear you. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm waiting for a question.
Okay, you're back. Well, we didn't hear the answer to the first one. So recap what you talked. Did you talk about the weather? It's being misty?
Yes, the weather has been cloudy and a little bit misty. And it has rained here on and off the last day and a half or so. So that, you know, that could play a part in what some of the players are saying, at least about the field condition. But the field itself, from the, you know, I'm sitting on the 5-yard line to the Rams end zone, maybe about 50 rows up, and it looks in great shape to me. I mean, there aren't any divots or any sort of obvious stretches. So it looks like it's fine. But, it could be a little slick. The night goes on and the temperatures dip, and there is a chance for some rain later on tonight.
One last question, because we don't have a great connection, but I just wanted to ask you about the health of the team in terms of the illnesses. You were in the hotel. You were on the planes. Yep. Mayo, obviously, Will Fork. What have you noticed in terms of the illness or indigestion?
I would say that when we first got off the few times we've had to interview them and see them, you know, walking throughout the hotel and such, there are some guys who are looking a little lethargic. There's no question about that. And I'm a little bit more concerned with their mental health right now than with their physical health, because I think a lot of them were commenting about how long the flight was, how tired they were when they got here. You know, part of that could have been because of the illnesses and stuff.
Right.
But I'm just not sure a lot of them are excited to be here, which is unfortunate. And I just wonder if that's going to play in you know, how motivated they are when the game actually kicks off.
Okay, speaking of not being excited to be there, what is the rumblings in terms of Chris Mortensen had a weird tweet that you guys are going to get off as scheduled right after the game. Well, you weren't scheduled to leave after the game. What is the status of your flight home?
I wish I knew, but that's that would be news to us, because none of us have packed and none of us are ready to leave. So that would take a lot of doing for us to get up and just leave for the airport. I'd have to leave a lot of my personal belongings here if that were the case. So I don't think that's happening, but with this team, you can really never say never. We just haven't been told.
All right. Well, enjoy the game. Get a new phone. See ya.
All right.
Thanks, Eric. Eric Scalavino joining us from Wembley Stadium.
I mean, really, we'd have to leave all of our personal belongings here. Like, they're going to say, no, you can't go back to the hotel and get your bag. You just have to come now.
Paul wants somebody to come now.
Unbelievable.
Maybe you should leave the new Twitter handle there. Maybe
Paul wants a piece. Maybe we should leave Eric there. All those
in
favor?
He would be so excited. He would be out of his mind.
Oh, yeah.
Excited to just not have to be in America anymore.
I agree.
I love how he's like, they don't seem excited to be here, which is just a shame. It's a shame.
USA, greatest country in the world.
Let's squeeze in one more phone call here. Chris joins us here on Patriots.com. What are your thoughts on today's game, Chris?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good.
All right.
Good. Hey, I think one thing that I think is on everybody's mind out here is when we're going to start putting some pressure on the opposing quarterback.
Yeah, that's a question, because I agree with you. Even though the pressure has been better in terms of stats of late, I still don't think they get a consistent enough pass rush that kind of makes it a play-to-play-to-play issue that the offense has to deal with. I would expect or hope they'd get that today against a terrible offensive line that's even more terrible than it normally is. Basically have a waiver wire guy starting at left tackle, so if Chandler Jones doesn't dominate today, I don't know when he will. And maybe Dante Hightower is a little more healthy, maybe he can get into the act there. But I will be really disappointed if we leave this game today and don't say, wow, the Patriots defensive front really dominated. Today is a day where they need to dominate up front.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it just seems like we seem to be giving up a lot of yards on big plays, and seems to come when we're not rushing and we're all laying back.
And Bill's talked about that. This is a team defense issue. He's talked about how, you know, there seems like some plays where, they, you know, when you're throwing it 50 yards, it takes a little while to develop, and we're not getting there to put any pressure on the guy. So that's certainly from internally talking to players and coaches, you know, that's a double-edged sword. They're having an issue with the pass rush, timing with the coverage on all plays, not just, oh, yeah, Rob Ninkovich got there for the strip sack. That's great, but can we get a little more consistency?
You know, I look at that as something, when you talk about Bradford, you know, the one thing you don't want is for him to stand back there and fire up bombs down the field to Givens or whomever. You know, getting to him, getting pressure from Chandler Jones or Ninkovich, Cunningham, whoever it would
against
be.
Against Jags, against guys who probably shouldn't be starting or playing in the league.
And they've had a lot of trouble protecting him all season. So don't give him time for those big plays to develop. Yeah. And I think defensively they should be in good shape.
And this is a game, Andy's right, they should be able to get some of that pressure, because the Rams' offensive line is just not getting the job done. Just looking at the stats, Bradford's been sacked 21 times when the guys have actually been on the field. In this game, as we talked about, they're down to the third tackle.
Yep.
So this should be a game that Chandler Jones, I think, makes an impact on.
All right. Well, we will see over the course of this game as the Patriots take on the Rams, coming up here in about 15 minutes. That's been the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social here on Patriots.com. I'll stick around for the
Batten down your hatches out there.
Show, assuming,
get ready. Sandy's coming.
Assuming the stadium's still here with all the weather coming in. I'll talk to you after the game right here on Patriots.com.
This has been the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, live from the Patriots Facebook page. Now it's game time as the Patriots square off with the St. Louis Rams.
Over the middle it goes. It is intercepted by Brandon Spikes at the 35, 40, 45 at the 50 of Baltimore, and out of bounds on the far side of the field.
Be sure to tune into Patriots.com for the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones immediately following tonight's game.
Patriots come hard. He looks and fires to the right, and it is picked off at the 40. Vincent Wilfork at the 50, at the 45, at the 40.
Stay up.
Speed all the way down to the 30-yard line. Vincent Wilfork.
Log on to Patriots.com all week long for the latest news and information on your favorite team. We look forward to hearing from you next week on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.